Blog Talk Radio.
African Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Mana, Masi egi komo zobaba, Zemunga no moya.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. The air date of this episode is September 5th, 2023. Our introductory music that you heard there is by the one and only Ms. Miriam Makeba, commonly referred to as Mama Africa. That day was African sunset, and may she rest in power. Okay, and we have Brother Che Nkrumah coming to us with us from Denver, Colorado tonight. I'm here in Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City. Okay, and big greetings, to Brother Che. Greetings, Brother Che. How you doing this evening, sir?
Yes, grand rising, grand evening from the Maha Income City. I'm doing all right, Shabaka. I wish I didn't lose my wallet, but the show must go on.
Yeah, appreciate that. I know the feeling on that, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, really bad, you know. And now also, too, you know, cutting through the chase right here. Now, the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear. Okay, this is the biggest miscarriage of justice, man, that you're getting ready to see. Okay, it's because this clown man was hit with 34, 40 charges and what have you. And how they let him walk about that jail cell, man, you know, not being incarcerated, man, is beyond me. But, however, we know what's really going on. Now, also, too, we're going to be speaking about the punk, the transvestite by the name of the Panties, commonly referred to as the governor of Florida. And, yeah, Ron DeSantis, I'm saying that you are a transvestite and you wear women's underwear. Now, this bastard says if he's elected president, he's going to get rid of the Department of Education. He's going to get rid of the Internal Revenue Service. And I believe it was the Energy Department, Brother Che. Now, I don't mind him getting rid of the Internal Rip-Off Service, okay?
Education.
But... And he says he's getting rid of the Department of Education as well,
yeah.
Too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. And it's because, you know, he don't want them, you know, quote, unquote, having critical race theory. And an article right here, I believe this is off of NBC News, where Florida's Republican governor said he would seek to abolish the Departments of Education, Commerce, and Energy, as well as the Internal Revenue Service. Okay. Florida Governor Ron DePantis said that if he is elected president, he would seek to close the four federal agencies as missioned above the aforementioned, and he said to reduce the size of the government, and he would do education as he would do commerce, he would do the energy, and he would do the IRS. And he had made these statements with Fox News, Martha McCallum, when asked whether he favored closing any agencies. And he says if the Congress works with him on doing that, he'll be able to reduce the size and scope of government. If Congress won't go that far, he's going to use those agencies to push back against woke ideology and against the leftism that we see creeping into all institutions of American life. The Panties campaign didn't immediately respond to a request for further details about his remarks, okay? The Panties has sought to distinguish himself from the dump, as in human shit, in part by moving to the right of the former president on a variety of issues. On Tuesday, he issued an unexpected veto rejecting a criminal justice reform bill that had received substantial bipartisan support in the Republican-led state legislature. While the dump hasn't said he would try to eliminate the Education Department if elected in 2024, his proposed eliminating federal funding for any school or program pushing critical race theory, gender ideology, or other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content on our children. Now, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen out there within earshot of us, Our chat room is open. Please, you know, comment in there, or you can give us a call here at 516-418-5996. We appreciate and expect all kind of hate mail. We also appreciate our supporters and our well wishes as well, too. It's because, see, this is some very, very trying times that we're in here in the 2020s, okay? It's because you got this damn artificial intelligence that wants to know all your business, and Google is up to it with its bullshit again, you know what I mean? It's because they're locking your pages if you don't want to receive this junk mail and what have you, where they're making billions of dollars off this crap, and they're not sending you nothing. You see? Yeah, so, yeah, that's kind of deep right there. Okay, so therefore, me personally, I don't have a problem with him shutting down the internal ripoff service, okay? But once again, the dump, okay, he should be barred for running for president, but they got to wait till he gets convicted, and this is why this trick is putting it, he wants his court date to start in 2026, which would be well after the election. Okay, also, too, material that I came across with the dump is in violation of the 14th Amendment about which he tried to usurp the government. You know, when he had his supporters storm the U.S. Capitol. Now, I'm willing to bet money what's going to happen, and I'm only talking about $2, okay? I'm willing to bet money, and do not be surprised if the dump, as in human shit, gets the nomination, and the panties, and I'm saying he's a transvestite that wears women's underwear, will be on the same ticket. Don't be surprised if that, folks, is because they're saying these two are against each other. But however, as Malcolm said, is that in the black community, you have the highest amount of crime and have the highest amount of police. So why would you have the highest amount of police in the black community with the highest amount of crime? So surely the cops must be in cahoots with the criminals. Okay, so I'm seeing the same scenario right here. In addition to, and I see we have a caller here at a 737. Okay, just press 1 and we'll be more than happy to have you join us on here. Okay, Brother Chase, so what are your thoughts on that, sir?
Hold on, Sebastian. Keep talking. I'm in the middle of something right quick. Brother,
Wesley. Oh, yes. Okay, all right. Okay, and we'll unmute the brother's mic, you know what I'm saying? And, okay, yeah, Brother Wesley, yeah, we see you there, sir. Area code 737, the last three numbers, 234. Okay, sir, what's on your mind, man? And welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced.
Black Power, my brother, man. Greetings to my brother.
Always. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to join in. I got invited in, man. It's always a pleasure to be able to really work out the problems within our community. I'm just sitting back listening today and just getting some information and some knowledge from you, dear brother. I think I'll chime in a little later on, but I appreciate the invite, and I pray that God bless us this night, that the people be liberated with their ears, my dear brother.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely, brother. And we thank you so very much. And also, too, over the years, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we have created the hashtag called Resurrection of the Mental Dead, okay, is because this current fervor that's going on within the black community and what have you, and then we have these brain-dead politicians, Larry Elders, Leo Terrell, you know, Uncle Tim Scott, you know, clowns like that, and they really do countermand our progress. And the sad part is that none of them are talking about the black community banding together, not only in the U.S., but throughout the whole diaspora. It's because on the continent, you know, this is where they're getting all the raw materials from, okay, the silicon. Okay, I mean the diamonds, I mean the chrome, the steel. Without the continent of Africa, you see what I'm saying, Western industrialization would not exist. Okay, so this is why they generate so much fervor and division amongst us, you see, to countermand our progress, to enhance their own. Also, too, when we look at guys like Fervor and Leo Terrell, Thomas Sewell, you know, those miseducated Negroes who sit up there to say the only way for us to progress is to assimilate, you know, often to, as Brother Paris would say, racist white supremacy, okay, and that there's a counterman to our progress is because I've never seen out of my 60-plus years of being on this planet of any group of people getting ahead, you know, for themselves, assimilating into the mainstream of their oppressor. And Professor P.L.O. Lumumba, you know, he gives very, very great lectures on this. And also, too, follow us on Twitter at Shabaka, capital EXP. You can go to our like page on Facebook, which is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And also, too, our chat room is open, you know, for those with constructive comments and what have you. It is open for our critics and haters, you know what I'm saying? And if you're sending in your hate mail, we'll be more than happy to read your garbage. And, of course, we're going to countermand it. And then also, too, and if you're out there, Sarge, you might as well give us a call in as well, too, you know, is because Sarge is always there, you know, with his dynamism. And then also, too, those out there with New Black Power Radio, if you're listening, you know, please call in. And tonight's subject is what's really going on. And what's really going on is that we are being played, okay, the current situation that's going on with all the social services and what have you in the black community, we being restricted from. Also, too, these white supremacists are on a huge upswing, you know what I mean? They're letting their thoughts and philosophies being known, and the biggest mouthpiece that they have for their agenda is the panties, the governor of Florida. And I really don't understand why not the citizens of the state of Florida have not launched a recall petition against him. Now, the only logic that I can come up with on that is that he perhaps has control over the Secretary of State. And if I got my political science right, it's the Secretary of State that is the chief elections officer. And then, of course, what happened with the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, about how he had tampered, you know, with these voting machines and what have you in Georgia, Florida, Arizona as well, too. And that really, you know, takes a lot away from the memories of those who made ultimate sacrifice during the civil rights movement to get the right to vote. And the panties, and I'm saying that he wears women's underwear, that he is a transvestite. That's why I refer to him as the panties. You know, it's very, very adamant about erasing black history, you know, from the school's curriculum. So once again, you know, they want to keep us off in this brain dead mode. They don't want our youth learning about our history of being abused in the southern United States, and if not the whole United States as a whole. They don't want our youth, you know, gaining knowledge with science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, to become self-sufficient in producing for ourselves. They do not want us, you know, hooking up with the nations on the continent that are pro-black. You know, they want to keep puppet regimes over there in power. Man, I appreciate what they did in Niger by kicking out the French and letting them know that their day is over. And why is it too, ladies and gentlemen, that the nation of Haiti, or commonly referred to as Haiti, is always constantly paying France for colonial debt when Haiti is perhaps one of the most impoverished nations in the Western Hemisphere? Oh, yeah, that's right. 1804. Yeah. Yeah, France never forgave them for that. And then, also, too, when you look at the 13th and 15th Amendments of the U.S. Constitution. One amendment had ended slavery except for punishment as a crime. The other one made the slave a citizen. And the other one gave the slave the right to vote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to know if anybody's got any knowledge. When did we, as a people, on a collective basis, petition the U.S. government that we wish to be citizens? Can anybody shed any light on that? How about you there, Brother Paris?
Baca, I'm still doing what I was doing, but Lady Che is joining us.
Oh, okay, Lady Che, yeah, what's on your mind? Okay, and
I just got in here, so hold on a second. I just got in here. What are you doing, Jesse, mm-hmm. that you can't focus? What's the question? I can't find my headphones, so go ahead on the Bluetooth speaker right now.
Bluetooth.
Okay, no, okay, the question is...
What is, Jesse had me watching some nonsense today, and I still hardly see where anything was done. Cuz was still acting like a coon. He still hasn't acknowledged the fact that he didn't have me up there. I'm like, what did you really accomplish today when you were in there going off on him? And the fact that they had the audacity to clown us about anything fucking unhoused. Like, you're right. What the fuck is a pillow going to do for a fucking separation situation? And that, I really don't see what you accomplished, because this shit's still going to run. Jeff Hart is still going to be a coon. And the worst coon at that. You see how he went off for like 5 minutes about fucking, he's tired of hearing about black shit? I was like, I just don't understand why you made me watch that shit. That was a waste of my motherfucking time. let's see, what was I going to talk about? Well, hi, Brother Shabaka.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, and
what's coming on this weekend?
Okay, we have a what that's coming on this weekend?
Isn't the game coming on this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think they're starting preseason with the Raiders. Okay,
yeah.
All right, but what it is though, Lady Che, is that the question I was getting at, okay, is that when did black people petition the U.S. government to be citizens of the U.S.?
Never.
Precisely my point. Okay. Yeah. You know, scored 3 points. You know, field goal kicked right there. Okay, and then also too, and
that was
what
an
I'm
easy
having.
Answer, brother.
Yeah, and nobody, you know, down through the history since you know, the late 1860s, early 1870s, during the Reconstruction era. Has ever addressed that issue. You know what I mean? Now, I do recognize a lot of our people say, well, I was born here, we built the land. Okay, which we did. Okay. At the same token. But see, this is why we got to get the reparations. Now, what they're doing is that they got all these immigrants coming here and got them going to sleep, you know, on the floor in the Chicago police stations and what have you. And as Dr. Claude Anderson had stated, you know, about 12 years ago, is that they're going to be pulling the resources away from the reparations issue. And then they're going to come up with this illusion of inclusion, and it is a huge, huge, big illusion. It's because we are
the
most hated people. Brother
Shabaka, I got a question.
Yeah.
I got a question. So, you know, we got we had the light-skinned invasion, right, of the Venezuelans. Venezuelans, Lord help me, Venezuela, the light-skinned invasion of the Hispanics.
Okay,
yeah, I can
Venezuelan.
Say it properly. Yeah,
yeah,
that's how you say it,
Venezuelan. And keep in mind that Caracas, Venezuela, which is the capital of Venezuela, was a major slave port as well, too. Just like Havana, Cuba was, just like Rio de Janeiro, Brazil was, just like Colombia was, you know what I'm saying? Just like Panama City was, you see what I mean? Just like San Juan, Puerto Rico was, right along there with New Orleans, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, Annapolis, Maryland, and the great Charleston, South Carolina, you know? And then, of course, up and down in Mississippi.
Hold on,
you
let me ask a question.
They...
Let me ask a question. So this is a real thought-provoking question. So I was on the bus yesterday, and I noticed that we have like a – we're finally starting to get the influx of the black immigration, right? They came on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was showing that thing on the RVA where it's them, but black men coming across on boats. You know, shot that. We clapped on that for a little bit. Now, here's my question. So, you know, we've been rude to the light-skinned ones. But we're not really necessarily rude to the other ones. But don't you think that as foundational black Americans, we should do our due diligence to catch them right now while they're on our turf early and try to, educate them in the ways of how to treat us versus
trying to submit to masses?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, Lady Che. Yeah, because I saw some material on that. When those, you know, of African descent, you know, who were coming to the United States, and then when they would go through the indoctrination process, they were told to stay away from, you know, Africans here in America. Yeah, here in America. Now, the reason why they did this, and I can see, you know, the reasoning of the oppressors, because, see, one thing that they have always feared ever since the Haitian Revolution and ever since the various uprisings of Nat Turner and Denmark Vesey and what have you, is what they would call retribution, you see. So this is why, you know, they'll prop up, you know, ass scratchers, yassa bosses like Jeff Fard or Larry Alder, Leah Terrell, Thomas Sewell, you know what I mean, and whatnot. But see, but when you go ask any of these tricks, okay, about the brutalization to our people in America, such as the picnics that they would have where they would take black people, hang them publicly, and then they would also burn them. Now, what really proves the savagery of this is that they would have a picnic where they would go out there, consume food, and witnessing a man, you know, being lynched, you know, pissing and shitting on himself as his neck is snapped, vomiting as well, too. Then they stand there and they burn him, and these people sit down and eat, witnessing this. Okay, very, very interesting. And that's stuff like that to kill your appetite, just like what happened with Emmett Till, you know what I mean, in 1954 down there in Mississippi, and his mother had put his remains on public display to show the brutalization of white America, okay? And then let's not forget about little Ruby Ridges, six-year-old little baby going to public school down there in Arkansas, I believe. And, you know, she had to go to school under the protection of the National Guard, and they threatening this little baby. She's only 6 years old. How are you going to do that, you know, to a six-year-old baby who just wants to go to school? All right, and then to mention the fact.
Nah, and it's just speaking. Isn't she still alive?
Ruby
hey,
Ridges?
Who's on the
yeah,
horn?
I believe so.
Yeah. Oh, this is Wesley, my dear sister. How you doing?
How you doing, Brother Wesley?
Man, I'm all right, sister.
I'm just
enjoying
good to hear your voice,
energy,
brother.
Man.
Black power.
Thank you, my queen. Thank you, my queen. Black power, all power to the people. And also, brother, I want to chime in on something you said. You said a critical point, and I think it is essential nowadays that we begin our offspring early in political literature and to begin to focus them more on career-based jobs in that arena. You see what I'm saying? We professionalize the wrong occupations, and then we demonize the wrong occupations. You know, we make it to where being an officer is bad. Now, we know that the entity of the police department has a racist aspect to it from an era of time, that still exists.
Yes,
but to make change, we have to be the change, and therefore we have to be those individuals that we want them to be, you know, show by example. And I truly believe, my dear comrade, that if we are the first, if we are the example of creation, if God made us the example of creation, and that we're not straight, that we're crooked, and that we're weaving, and that we're bobbing, and there's no other race or society that can be straight until we get straight, because we're the example of straight. And so I believe that a lot of the problems that we're seeing in this world is because we have not gone ye amongst the children of Israel first and then go ye amongst the world. And I think that what Allah was saying there to the people is that, that we have to go amongst our people, not just to correct our people, but to teach and prepare our people for the greater responsibility, the whole accountability for the era of the world. And so when we begin to look at life on that magnitude and begin to interject that energy into our offspring and let them know that not only that you're kings and queens, but that you are entity of the Creator. You see what I'm saying? And that God gave you a sense of order. He told male and female in Genesis 1, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality. I want to say that because we're wrestling in a spiritual war, and we're wrestling with it, moral values and principles that dictate our actions. So we go back to Genesis 1, and he said, therefore I created male and female, and I gave both of them the commandment to create, multiply, be fruitful. And so that spiritual commandment holds value to all creations. And we know that man, he says in Genesis 2, he created man. So we know man comes in two species, male and female. And if she is our equal, and let's get this correct, that people say that the queen should be by our side. What the queen signifies is that she comes from the rib, and the rib protects the breath of life. And it is the woman, the queen, who has a sense of magnitude with Allah when she brings in life. Because when the fetus begins to begin a state of existence, because you know at one time it's not considered a human. So when it becomes to the stage of existence, so when that cosmetic energy hits, every woman becomes married. Because her and Allah brings about life. So now overstanding the concept of marriage, and understanding the deity of Mary and the magnitude of who she is. And so we must honor our queens. And so, therefore, the point made is that she has the strength to pick up her side of the table just as us and move it. So she has equal or more strength, because we see our sisters commanding and taking over our communities. They're being mothers and fathers. They're working. They're paying bills. They have their own car. They have their own clothes. They're still going out doing their nails and such and such. And then we have a magnitude of man, because we know about systematic destruction that is stagnated in a state of complacency. And so going back to interjecting this energy in our youth, see, we must start early, because if you look at the Bible, if you look at the deity of our people, we had kings that were 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Fred Hampton was 21 years old when the government plotted to assassinate him. So quit saying that certain ages are young. Yeah. That is not our culture, because we don't live by age. We live by purpose and responsibility within your purpose. Everybody is not in the same purpose. So once we teach our kids to find your purpose, and once you find your purpose, all your provisions is provided in your purpose, then I think, sir, that we can attack some of these situations. Like, we can no longer keep asking and begging these people and these older people, these people that are lost in complacency and stagnated in their ways of selfishness. We got to create our own tomorrow with our tomorrow, which is our youth. And so I think that in this revolutionary movement, just like Huey P. Newton and everybody else, we have to hit the classrooms, we have to hit the elementaries, recruit, hit the middle school recruit, hit the high school recruit, hit the college recruit. If we got to recruit in preschool, we need to be recruiting, not mean by the knowledge. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. And so the history that you're teaching us tonight, I think that I know that our youth need that, to know that they come from a divine order, a divine deity before man could even think of life. And so I yield there, and I thank you once again for this time to share my knowledge with our people. I like to take the time also to acknowledge Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, I asked us Hasim Nzinga and our chairman, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and we thank you from the New Black Panther Party self-defense under his leadership. Black power, my kings and queens.
Yes, sir. Hey, real quick,
Shabaka, real fast. I just want to tell you that I had a teaching moment, man. So, you know, when I say black, I mean beautiful black people coming in. For, you know what I mean? So I took some time, man. I was listening to them speak. So they speak Spanish. Now, when I was 16 years old, I had a little boyfriend. He was from El Salvador. Pretty black. Looked like my old man that I got now. Looked like Jesse, okay? Except he had Miguel straight hair, okay? Weird as shit. But he was black as hell, right? He was black like Jesse. Her brother, Che. And my mother had said if I was going to date another person when I was younger from a different country, I need to learn their language. So I watched a lot of TV, like novellas and shit, for like 6 months. Spanish is the easiest fucking language ever. But I'm one of those people that pick up languages very quickly. I've learned like 5 in my lifetime, so it's not a big deal. However, I was listening to them talk because we was on the bus, and I got off first because I have my little scooter that day. I was trying to get home. Very sick. It was just the other day, and I was trying to get home, and they tried to cut in front of me, and the bus driver said, no, you know, you gotta wait. So I was like, all right, I get in there, do a little spin, park my shit. And I listen to the language, and they're talking. And I'm telling them, you know, I heard something. One of them said something about another brother, but he was, you know, you could tell that the brother they were talking about is an American, like a black American, you know, a foundational. He looked like foundational black American. So I was like, I'm listening. I listen to speak Spanish, and this is the only time I'll dust off the Spanish to speak to my black brothers and sisters. I was like, hey, look, take it out. That's all respect. I was like, when you come here, you're new here. You don't disrespect us. We're trying to let you be here. You don't disrespect us. You don't disrespect this brother, that sister, anybody. It's sort of American descent. That's what the white man wants. You just left your country. For whatever reasons, you fled your country. You're here. You're a guest in our country. And so we respect our foundational. I told them in Spanish, and they were like,
okay.
Right? Because I'm light,
okay.
But
okay.
I'm on the fence,
you
know. And
then keep in mind, though, too, Lady Che, as you know,
you
is that off the research
them.
That it, oh, yes, absolutely, indeed. And then, of course, the research that we have done over the years, you know, when we put together the platform and Frontline Black News and what have you,
yeah.
And we've discovered, as you know, is that before they come to the U.S., you have U.S. officials that tell them to avoid, you know, black people in America.
Yeah.
You see, so they already put that element of division in there. Okay, now we got an unknown
call. I did put that out there,
right
too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I put that out there,
yeah.
Too, because, you know, we're going to be their biggest allies, the
right.
Foundational Black Americans. We're going to be the black ones that are coming from the diaspora, the Spanish diaspora, part of I don't know how to say it, the African countries that are Spanish-speaking, right? And the diaspora,
right.
You know, they're coming over, and that's good. You know, that's good. Remember when they kicked Haiti out? So this is a beautiful thing that now there's more black men coming over. I didn't see very many females, but now they're starting to float in. But over the last week or two. But that's okay. Either way, I felt like they had to get an education because when you're here, the first time you hear it, you're going to have to know that we're not on the side of white supremacy. So if you're going to stand in this country, you better stand with us right now. You know what I mean? Pick a side now because we're at war. You fled at the wrong time, but fuck it, you're here. You know what I mean? You better pick a side, brother. Like that. We are at war. We're at war with white supremacy. You fled your country for whatever reason. And now you're over here, and we are at war. And there's no white supremacy passes given. You'll be called out your name. You'll be treated like shit, whatever. If that's how you want it, you know what I mean? But we don't have to have it like that. We just have to get them a good understanding that you're coming here. We embrace you until you just have that vitriol and you start acting like fucking tethered coon. You got to go. You know what I mean? We are at war. And shit, well, I'm so happy to see more black people. And it seems to be so weird But if you go outside every week, then you notice the change in the rhythm. Like sometimes you'll see more light-skinned Hispanics, right? And then next week you'll see, like this week, all I saw is black Hispanics. Like black Hispanics, as dark as you and Jesse. You know what I mean? It's not darker. You know? And they speak Spanish, and that was the only time I just went Spanish off, because I was telling his sister 2 weeks ago that they have to come over here and learn how to speak English, first off. You know what I mean? Because you're coming over here, this is the English-speaking country. However, I do speak Spanish, and I dusted off to speak to black people who spoke Spanish. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
And they kind of see, is that hypocritical? Nah. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I only want to talk to black people. They're black. They speak Spanish, and they got to understand it. If you talk to them correctly and you listen to them, they're under the understanding that we are in. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. We're under the understanding that black is right and white is incorrect. You know what I mean? White supremacy has to take a back seat. Black people are on the rise here, and we are at war. You just have to speak to them in that manner and let them know. Right up top, no white supremacy pass will be given to your black ass if you start acting stupid. For real. You can get back on that boat. You go right back to where the fuck you came from. Just because they say it's a sanctuary city doesn't mean we have to allow it to be one.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? We don't have to allow half this shit, Belly. It only takes a small few to really get buck in the street and say, nah, we don't want this no more. You know what I mean?
Okay. All righty. Okay, I see we got another caller here, unknown number. Okay, 11111. Okay, your mic is
man.
On me. Okay, and what's on your
Let's
mind?
Let's box it in through the phone.
Am I on?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
there's
this is Brother Warren, host of Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Wake Up.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Brother Warren? Long time
I returned from the month of August, traveling in Southern Africa, Zambia, Namibia, and South Africa.
Okay.
And so I had a chance to, and I didn't attend the BRICS Summit. I was at events surrounded that were established about the BRICS Summit, like forums, conferences, and town halls and things like that. When I was in South Africa, I was in Joburg, and then I had a chance to go to Durban and to Cape Town, and Namibia is beautiful. That was my first time in Namibia. Namibia is beautiful, a beautiful country.
Okay.
But what I want to say, with all due respect to the sister that was speaking, I don't buy into the concept of FBE. And let me tell you why. It wasn't until the 14th Amendment that blacks were considered citizens. And even from the time the 14th Amendment was passed all the way up into the Civil Rights Movement, our citizenship was in question. And even right now as we speak, there are still court cases that are still being argued over, really, our citizenship. The black population in America has always been infused with black people constantly coming in from Africa and the Caribbean. So if you was to go to a typical plantation, let's say prior to the Civil War, you would have had black people. See, I'm from Louisiana, and so our situation here was in no way like the rest of the country. We spoke French. We spoke Spanish here. And so New Orleans always was a place where people from the Caribbean came into. My grandmother, one of my grandmothers, was from Santiago, Cuba. So I had a chance to go to Cuba for the first time back in the early 2000s, but we've always had this infusion of blacks coming in, mixing in to be what is called black American. There was a lady in Maryland, if you look at the story, her name, she has an African name, so I know she's from Africa. She was a teacher, 59 years old. They recently found her body dismembered, her head cut off, her neck cut off, her legs cut off below her knees, and it was a white guy that did that. They don't know the motive yet, So people from other, black people from other countries come here and they face racism as well. And so what is a FBA, Foundation of Black America? What's the cutoff point?
Brother Warren,
so
Brother
just,
Warren, can you hear me? Kabaka, you got feedback.
Yeah.
But Brother Warren, yeah, greetings. Thank you for calling in, Brother. What is FBA? FBA is Foundational Black Americans. That is a lineage, sir. That is not a race. That is its own ethnic group.
Could you
and,
explain
like
it, Darryl, because I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Could you explain it?
Okay.
What's
so,
the timeline? What's the timeline of
the
FBA? Because
what's the timeline of 1526 till now? And it's for anybody, well, not anybody, but anybody that can trace their lineage back to the South, to Louisiana, Alabama.
But remember,
Georgia,
Louisiana wasn't a part of the United States. Louisiana wasn't originally a part of the United States. So would I still be
an FBA? Correct, brother. After the Louisiana Purchase, it became part of the United States. So
yeah, right along with Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois as well, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the whole Midwest. And,
basically, actually all up and down the Mississippi River from the Delta all the way up there to Minnesota, pretty much.
Correct.
But we do know that the bulk of black people were not here starting in the 1500s. Blacks kept coming in. Up until before the Civil War.
No. Actually, brother, majority of the people that were transplanted during the transatlantic slave trade did not even end up in this part of the world. They ended up in South America, in Brazil.
Right.
So there was already black people here. And that is a story that is not being told. There were already black people here before any European conquest, invasion, any of that. There were already black people here.
Okay,
now, I'm not descended from any of those. I don't come from any of those blacks that were already here. All of my
people have been
brought in from African and Caribbean. I know that very well. We're very good on our genealogy in Louisiana.
Okay, well, then you're not FBA, brother, because FBA was
I guess I'm not. But I know my people fought against slave revolts here in Louisiana and in Haiti and in Cuba. They fought in slave revolts.
They had some revolts.
In fact, the biggest slave revolt in North America, the biggest slave revolt was in 1811 here in Louisiana. That was the biggest slave revolt in North America.
Before that, brother. The biggest slave revolt in this country was actually in the 1600s, the Bacon's Rebellion. That's where they came up with this whole notion of race. You have to understand race is a social construct. FBA is not a race. FBA is a lineage, an ethnic group.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Caribbean is not a race. It is an ethnic group or a place of origin. And if you really want to bring it up, Caribbean actually stands for cannibals.
Uh-huh.
So they renamed the island.
That's what Christopher Columbus said. That's what Christopher Columbus said it meant.
Correct. So
okay, but if I may interject.
Okay, hold on, Sebastian.
Okay.
So they keep saying the only difference between us is the boat stop. You've been away from the so-called mama land for over 500 years. A lot of the countries or nations or empires or whatever existed back then don't exist now.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay. All right.
There's a disconnect. They don't exist. There was no Nigeria then. There was no...
You're right. But my argument is that the black population in North America was a constant fluid population, were constant black people coming in at all points in time. And if you look at, for example, let me give you an example. Denmark Vesey, that slave revolt he led in, I think, 1821. People from Haiti, because the Haitian Revolution, you still had people coming from Haiti. They had a lot of Haitians in South Carolina that Denmark Vesey organized with. There was a French-speaking element there in Charleston, and all of these people had to meet. Then you had people in the Gullah Islands going to the Bahamas and stuff. They were going back and forth on those little boats back and forth to the Bahamas and the Gullah Islands constantly.
Yeah, you're talking about the Gullah Geechee. You're talking about the Niji. Those are all people are.
Yeah, but there's
still
a lot of Gullah Geechee.
Okay, those that are.
Gullah Geechee people got family members in Muhammad.
Like, what I'm talking about is the people that just got here in the 1900s. And then you said that everybody experiences racism, white supremacy that comes to this country. Yes, that's a given. This country is founded
some of our greatest fighters came here. Some of our greatest freedom fighters came here, like Marcus Garvey, Kwame Ture.
That sounds good, brother, but if they were so I don't want to take away from the brothers at all, but they couldn't get nothing popping where they were from. They couldn't get none of that, none of their
because where they were from were colonial, controlled. The British controlled where they were from. So the colonial authorities oversaw everything harshly.
What, the same thing here in America, brother? Like, there's no excuse. Like, Marcus Garvey,
well,
those were small islands.
You can't compare those small islands to the vast North American mainland. You can't make no comparison, though.
There is a comparison, though, because if they couldn't get it popping in their homeland, they have
they
to come
did.
Here.
They did. Well, that's not
no,
true.
They, no,
that's
they
not
couldn't.
True.
No,
that's
no,
not
no,
true.
No, no.
The most successful slave revolt, was in Haiti.
Brown in the Caribbean, brother.
The most successful slave revolt was in Haiti, my brother.
Brother, that was in 1804.
The most successful slave revolt in world history was in Haiti. And then before Haiti was one in Jamaica.
Before that, brother, though, there were slavery boats here in the United States of America.
But the one that defeated slavery was in Haiti. Saint Domingue, which became Haiti, was the first slavery boat that was successful.
Yes, if you're talking about world history, brother, yes, that is correct. Against the European powers, that part is correct. But they had a battery in their back from the slaves.
I almost
want to
blame myself for this
talking about the southern United States, brother. They got that spark, that inspiration from.
Well, they all came from Africa. They came from the people were fresh from Africa. They had that spark. They had that spark on the slave ship. They were fighting on the slave ship coming from Africa.
And that's the narrative that has to be challenged, brother. No, they did not all come from Africa, brother. We've been away from Africa.
Okay, we will respectfully agree to disagree. Thank you so much, Shabaka, but I enjoyed talking back to you. Tuning in, coming from my long journey back.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, brother Warren. But yeah, that narrative has to be unpacked because we keep constantly getting told we're from Africa. We're from Africa. The people in Africa don't even consider themselves African. They consider themselves whatever nation, whatever country, whatever tribe they're from. So this whole
I just want to say this. In North America, the black people started institutions with the name African, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the African Free Schools in New York. So there was a term African used throughout our organizations back into the 1700s.
Yes, here in the United States, brother, not everywhere else. Everywhere else, they're not.
No, but you're saying in the United States, the people were not from Africa.
Right?
The United States.
Brother, you just came from Africa, right? You just said you just did a tour of Africa, right? Did the people in Africa consider themselves African, or did they consider themselves?
Yes, they do. Of course. That's why you had the African National Congress. That was one of the major political parties in South Africa. The African National Congress.
Yeah.
Outside of Exania, which is the original name for that country, did they consider themselves African? No, they don't. They consider themselves
at the point is the term African became a unifying term that black and Africans and across the seas
embraced. The European term to begin with. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
Scorpio Africanus, a Roman, a Caucasoid.
Yeah, we just don't agree with the interpretation. We just don't agree with the interpretation of the historical record. I feel that I've I feel that my knowledge is sustainable, so we just disagree. But anyway, Shabaka, we'll just leave it at that.
Every gentleman, if we're going to disagree, let's disagree agreeably. If we're going to disagree,
right,
let us disagree agreeably.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's because let's be real. As I stated all along to him, Brother Paris would tell you this. Hey, man, if you take a brother from Gabon, you take another brother from Havana, Cuba, you take another brother from the south side of Chicago, and you take another one, man, there, man, say, from Azania, and you all are walking down the streets of Los Angeles, man, and get jacked up by the LAPD, all four of you together. You know what the LAPD is going to say? You know what the LAPD is going to say? We got four male Negroes. Period.
And look, don't forget the taxi cab. Don't forget the taxi cab test in New York, Brother Shabaka. The taxi cab test.
Yeah, they don't get
all the taxi cab pass anyway. But Shabaka, Shabaka, you know,
y'all just want to lump us all in as one big nigga. We're all just one big nigga. And
that's the way we see. That's the way they see us. They see us all that way. They see us all that way, and they treat us all that way. They see us all that way, and they treat us all
that
way.
That don't mean that's the truth, though. That don't mean that we're all one big.
It is the truth. It is the truth. It is the truth. We. Your DNA. You take a DNA test. You take a DNA test and watch where it sends you to.
Hold on, brother.
Take your DNA test,
gentlemen. Gentlemen, if we disagree, please let's disagree agreeably.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so look at Sakari Richardson.
I enjoyed it.
Hold on, Brother Warren. Look at Sakari Richardson. When she wins the gold medal, right, the Jamaicans, right, that we all supposed to be one big nigga, right? But the Jamaicans said, oh, she's ghetto. She's trash. She's this. She's that. But remember, we're all one big nigga, though. So...
In Africa, one of the things that the European and the U.S. have been successful with is institutionalizing what we call tribalism. That is making people believe strongly that the black guy next door is the enemy, and they get so engrossed in that with each other that they can't fight the real enemy. Some intelligence operation has come into black America and is training an element on tribalism and to look at the other black person who don't own loans.
No, the loans
we got to pay for our house.
No black immigrant owns that.
Black immigrants are responsible for that. Dying in the hospital. Black women dying in the hospital. Black immigrants are responsible for that. This is tribalism. This is a.
Hold on, Brother Warren. That is not what we're not gonna. We're not gonna do that. Now look. First of all, black immigrants weren't even allowed to come to this country until foundational black Americans made that possible. So you act like this country has had open arms and open hands for black immigrants. No. You keep talking about, oh, they circled us in and now and it was fluidity and all this and that. No, first of all, it was foundational black Americans that fought and died to make sure that those of the diaspora would be able to come to this country because they thought, oh, hey, we'll have reinforcements. No, they got a rude awakening, though. They didn't have reinforcements to fight against racism and white supremacy. What they had was a bunch of coons that wasn't doing nothing in their own country that they fled from. They was fighting against the Patrice Lumumbas. They was fighting against the Kwame Nkrumahs. They were fighting against the Dessalines and the Bookmans and the Martin Delaney, the Garbys. They were fighting against that. So, no, we're not going to go under this, oh, we're all one big nigga umbrella. Just because the Caucasoid sees us all as one big nigga don't mean that we're all one big nigga, because when we have situations, everybody's not caping for us. And like I said, I brought up Sakari Richardson because we're supposed to be all one big nigga, though, but she represents the United States, so how dare she win the gold medal, you know, when these other nationalities, when they win something, you know, the credit doesn't go to all the African diaspora. it goes to just one particular group, the Jamaicans, the Kenyans, the list goes on and on. So if we're all going to be one big nigga, we're going to not, we're going to be that all the time, not selectively, and not when it's, when it, it's supposedly convenient for that other ethnic group to acknowledge such. No, they don't consider themselves one big nigga. They don't consider themselves African. They don't even consider themselves black. You know who considers themselves black? Foundational Black Americans. You know who created Pan-Africanism? Foundational Black Americans.
The Black Americans, he said, one big nigga. The Foundational Black Americans all day, every day.
Oh, but
Foundational Black Americans
say,
against everybody.
But I still, yeah, but I still say the same thing because I've seen it happen. As, like I said, you take a brother from Gabon, you take another brother from San Juan, Puerto
okay,
Rico.
Okay, that's just one example. Shabaka, you keep bringing up that example about the police. We already know the police. They see us all as one big nigga. That's already a given. The problem is the other people, if you keep naming these other groups, the Gabonian, the Ghanaian, whatever, they don't see themselves as black. They don't even classify themselves as black. Look at that comedian Michael Blackson, who's from Ghana. You look at his he does not consider himself to be black. He is claiming white. And that is where the disconnect comes in. And that is why there cannot be no Pan-Africanism. Because we're the only ones that's pushing this. It would be different if it was reciprocated. It's not being reciprocated. So we keep falling into this bullshit that we're all one big nigga. And we're all in this struggle together, and our problems are your problems. But then when we have our problems, nobody is there. No, we have no reinforcements. Anybody coming to our rescue.
Okay.
But when
that's right,
groups,
my baby. That's
when these
right.
other groups have their problems,
okay.
oh, we're expected to come in and save the day. No, if we're going to be all one big nigga, then
right.
we need to act accordingly. Until then,
okay.
no, we're not all one big nigga.
Okay. Okay. All righty. Okay, Mr. Co-Executive Producer. I see your reasoning on that.
That's
but
right,
however,
baby.
Though, but, you know, but that is definitely something that needs to be worked on is because our very survival depends on it. You see what I mean? Because you could best believe when you look at these Ukrainians, when you look at these French, when you look at these Soviets and all that, they all come together, you know, because they look at themselves
yeah,
all as white.
All
you see what I mean?
Yeah, they look
yeah.
at themselves all as one big caucasoid, if you will.
Right.
We don't. We don't.
Right. Okay.
Shit, I'm staying away from that one big caucasoid, for real. Can't
yeah.
help to say.
And keep
I'm
in mind,
away,
I got to laugh.
Kick that one big
crying.
Caucasoid in the fucking nuts.
Okay, all right, yeah, okay, so I see your reasoning on that there, Brother Paris. Okay, I see your reason, but keep in mind, we've came a long way, but we still got a long way to go. You see what I'm saying? Now, to quote the words of Miriam Makeba, is that she had stated in the 1960s, and I did put it up on my wall, and by the way, she's the one who sings I'm a Pondo and also to the African Sunset. And she was from Azania and she's Xhosa, you know, as well, too. That's why she speaks, you know, with the click song some of the time. But however, as she had stated, is that the European did not consider anything discovered until they got there, okay? Just like how they say in Colorado on every... Columbus Day. How's Columbus going to discover America? And when a drunken, dumb bunny who made a left turn when he was trying to make a right turn.
And right, that's my whole
land.
Point. Why was? Let's speaking of that rape and slave and pedophile. Why would Columbus
yeah.
say that he thought he was in India? Because the people that he encountered looked like black people. But they keep
okay.
telling us, oh no, those aren't black people. Those are native people.
Okay.
The original people on every landmass on this planet are black people.
Okay.
I don't know why that's so
okay.
hard for people to come to grips with. And then I was like, well,
okay.
you know, Africa's the mama land, and we sprouted out from, you know, there's two theories, right? There's the outer Africa theory. It's a theory.
Mm-hmm.
And like Dr. Lalela Africa said, theories
yeah.
can help you get to the day. but you have to constantly prove theories. They're not facts. They're theories. So we've been led to believe, and here's another thing, if Africa is so great, right, like we get that Wakanda package, you know, come over to Africa, you know, help us rebuild Africa, right? Mm-hmm. Why are the people, I don't want to say majority of the people, but why are people over there so hard up trying to get over here? In Sudan right now, they have no bread. They can't eat. Them people are flying, but they got people like Marlo from Fresh and Fit that's over here talking down on Foundation of Black Americans. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. We made it for, we were the reason why the Immigration Act was even passed. Prior to that, they were not bringing in black immigrants. A few would get in, like maybe a Garvey or a Kwame Ture, but those are select few. That's not the vast majority of the immigrants that are being allowed in this country. These people are literally coming to anti-black sentiment and regime in their own country. But yeah, we just welcome on over here at Welcome Arms. You know, we need more black people, you know, strength in numbers. You know, we need more reinforcements to fight against racist and white supremacy. You know, they're not letting in they're not letting in the Thomas Sankoris. They're not letting in the Kwame Nkrumahs. They're not letting in the Marcus Garvey. And y'all was about to bring up Marcus Garvey, but Marcus Garvey didn't get nothing cracking until he came to the United States of America. He cannot get nothing cracking in the Caribbean. Them Jamaicans, them coolies, they were not having any of that. So he had to come here to United States, to Harlem, New York, and where he amassed the 5.8 million foundational black Americans. So y'all keep saying y'all hate, you don't understand foundational black Americans or where that comes from or why we're doing it or all this and that. He had a whole following of Garveyites, the Africans for the Africans and women, Africans abroad. Garvey never stood foot in Africa. And then they used
He was from Jamaica.
I'm saying he's from Jamaica. He never set foot in Africa, though. And he got his idea for Pan-Africanism from Martin Delaney.
Thank God that he was a black man, I'm familiar with Martin Delaney. Oh, I see you up on the board, and correct me if I'm wrong. I see we got Joe Gibson up there. Unmute his mic if he's there.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Nah, Joe, what's going on with you, man? So what is your input, man, on this dynamic conversation that we're having by our co-executive producer, Brother Chad Kroom?
Well, he was great. He's actually, when he was talking to Warren there, Warren obviously was wrong, and my friend there, he was correct. So obviously he knows his history a lot better than Warren does, but so I have to agree with him, actually.
Who is this?
Now,
Joe Gibson.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Yeah, it's Joe Gibson, Lady J. Now, also, too, now, let me say this here.
Why are you calling? Joe, you know if I'm on the line, it's all business. I'm going to tear you down notch by notch. I forgot I was supposed to tell all the black people in your area not to vote for you. I've been busy.
Yeah, where were you last show when I called in? You were missing an action. I think you were running
scared. Where were you on Friday? I was doing it all by myself. I could have tore your ass apart on Friday. How you doing, Joe Gibson?
Okay.
Doing all right. I hope you're doing all right.
I'm alive.
Okay. Now, I'm out here in this desert baking, right? Now, I do have some knowledge here. Now, I'm going to ask you this here, Brother Chay, okay, because you're a very well-read man. And if Brother Warren is still with us, hopefully he is, I want to ask him there.
That's
now,
my baby.
Now, the Grand Canyon, where all this gold is supposed to be, okay?
Yep.
And I'm sure everybody saw the movie with Nicolas Cage called National Treasure.
No Treasure, yes. So rumor has it, Rocket, that there's a pathway or a portal or something where you can go from the Grand Canyon to Aquilon to Kemet.
Okay.
I don't know
Alrighty.
If it's true.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there. They say there's just some kind of pathway or parallel, like universe type situation where you could travel through like a wormhole or something and you'll end up in Kemet.
Because
okay.
if you look at
Alrighty.
The Southwest United States, especially around the Grand Canyon area, right?
Right, which is in northern Arizona, right below Utah, I believe. Yeah, it's near the Four Point Corner. Yeah, because that's
the Pharaohs. There's remnants of the Pharaohs actually being on that in that space, and then you find like you'll find cocaine in the Pharaohs in the tombs of the Pharaohs and in their bodies. And we understand that cocaine is only grown in one part of the world. It's not abundantly plentiful in all seven other continents. You can only find it in Peru, in South America.
Right.
It's growing freely, right? So that means that there's already been trade established between the Chemites and the black Aboriginal people that originally, the Folsom people that originally were on this land before a Cocozoid, before a Bering Strait. Because those are all theories. They always tell us, oh, well, the Bering Strait theory was that the Asians had came across the Bering Strait and they populated what is now North America and South America.
Right.
It's a theory. Mm-hmm. It's not a fact.
Okay.
That, well, they could walk across the ice and they could get over there to what is northern Canada now, and they migrated all the way down to the tip of South America. Now, you look at Magellan, you look at all these European, they call them explorers. I call them savages. That
Magellan,
the
drunk Christopher Columbus, because Magellan was from Portugal.
The people that they had encountered, like Aboriginal people, they literally said these people are dark-skinned, they have skin of bronze, copper-colored people. And if you look at 1828 Dictionary of American, the definition of American was a copper-toned person.
Okay. Now, question. Now, on this here, Brother Parrott, I've traveled through Montana. I've traveled through Nevada. I've traveled through Utah. I've traveled through Colorado. And I still asked the same question, and I think this is the missing link. I've even asked our sister Akshita Vader this question. Why is it? Is that the African women and black women here in the U.S. have this curvature, and these other groups of people or women do not? Riddle me that.
Because they're $5 Indians. Majority of them are $5 Indians anyway.
Major pretendians.
You heard the Dalles Rolls was created during Reconstruction, around the time of Reconstruction, when a lot of those tribes, which we don't want to have that conversation, but we should have that conversation, the so-called civilized tribes owned slaves, that they were civilized, that you killed the Indian, you spared a man. Those tribes owned slaves.
Yeah.
They own reparations as well. We don't want to have that discussion because we get told about the Trail of Tears and what Andrew Jackson did. Those people, they literally sided with the Confederacy, and they own slaves, and they own reparations as well. And see,
now
after the Civil
on the Trail
War,
of Tears,
I got to get this out. So after the Civil War, they found out that they were going to have to give land and resources and money to the freedmen.
Okay.
From a lot of those tribes. And so when the Cocozoids found out about this, they started the Dalles Rolls, the Dalles Commission, where for $5, one of them for $5 could say that they were Native American, so they can have access to that land and the resources for generations after generations. So a lot of them are running around here talking about they're Native American. They're not even Native American. They're $5 Indians. That's why you look at the Native Americans now. They're so pellet snow. It ain't even funny. Aboriginal people, they won't even acknowledge them. They done kicked them off the tribes when they had that damn Standing Rock shit. A lot of them were they were kicking a lot of black people off them tribes. So...
Okay. Now, keep in mind,
black hatred that exists within that community as well.
Okay, now to prove your point on that day even further, the very first time that I crossed the Little Bighorn and Southern Montana, and also to Joe Gibson, I just wanted to let it be known, I took great pleasure, man, in hearing the story of long ago how Custer got wiped out because Custer was a savage. He was an invader, okay? And, you know, the Cheyenne, the Arapahoe, and the, wait a minute, it was four of them. The Cheyenne, the Arapaho,
the Navajo, I want to say the Blackfoot, and...
Yeah, the Blackfoot up in that region there of Montana as well, too, because Stagecoach Mary, when she was delivering the mail, you know, she was going back and forth off of the Blackfoot reservation as well, too. And I think in my travels there that I did come by, I did pass by and see the signs that said Blackfoot Nation. Okay, but still, though, is what you're saying, Brother Paris, is it was still the divide and conquer routine. And then the woman had asked me, why in God's name, you know, did the black man after slavery or after the Civil War, you know, go with the white man, you know, against the Navajo? And I just had to tell her the truth is because the slave only knew what the master taught him, period. This is where me and Joe Gibson always disagrees at, you know, which is fine. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, and then, of course, you know, the Amos and Andy, Ass Scratch and Yasser Boston, you know, homie kind of fools, you know what I'm saying? And what really depicted that sickness was a movie called The Soldier Story that made Denzel Washington a star.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But... the Joe Gibsons and the Sarges, you know, when we say such things, you know, all we hear, man, is crickets. You still with
us? Yeah, well, I'm reading about this wormhole that he was talking about. I'm reading about this wormhole. That's pretty interesting, actually. I'm reading about it now, so I didn't know about that in the Grand Canyon there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there's certain parts of the Grand Canyon you can't reach by foot.
Right.
They guard it though. They won't let nobody near it.
Well, yeah, right. And the feds is on there real heavy too.
Yeah, a lot of these national parks. That's exactly what they are. Like they guard ancient Aboriginal ruins or settlements.
Okay, now let me ask you this: what about Yosemite?
Same thing. Yosemite. Okay. What is it called? Cairo, Illinois, they have pyramids down there in the Mississippi as well, Shabaka.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're aware of this. They call it Monk's Mound. And what is that? All along the Mississippi River between Missouri and Illinois and Tennessee, they have Monk's Mound. And those are actual pyramids. So you can find pyramids like everywhere on every continent. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, I don't doubt what you say, man. You're very, you know, well educated, well spoken, man.
The guise of a national park, though. And Yellowstone is actually a super volcano that's been dormant.
Nah, well, yeah, that's a great big geyser, man, because I've been through Yellowstone. And what's that old faithful geyser, just like what you guys got up there? And what is that? Warm Springs, Colorado. No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
You talking about Greenwood?
Steamboat. Steamboat Springs, Colorado, is because I went up there through there one winter and it was 15 degrees below zero, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well,
Colorado's real cool.
Yellowstone sits on a caldera. For those that don't know what a caldera is basically a volcano.
Right.
The basis for a volcano. So actually, Yellowstone is biggest supervolcano in the world, and it goes off like every 30,000-40,000 years or so. The last time it went off, supposedly humans weren't on the planet, so we don't know exactly what happened. But we have examples of other supervolcanoes, like what happened in what is that, Pompeii, with Vesuvius. That was another supervolcano. Geysers are being caused by that caldera. That's what's heating up old faithful, and they getting all these one for you. Over there. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, here's one for you. Mount St. Helens. Okay. I remember when it erupted back in 1980. Okay. And it kicked out all this ash.
We've been through this, Chewbacca, offline. You know, Mount St. Helens, Mount Rainier, Mount Hood, Mount Shasta.
Mount Shasta. Yeah, I passed all.
Those are volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going, but they're all volcanoes.
Okay. Yeah, and it's also in the same zone where they have earthquakes, too.
Yeah, well, they're all on the same place. So they got
a very interesting geological relation they have. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, very much so. Okay. All righty. Okay. Now, riddle me this. Okay. Now, what about the great scholars of Kemet? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about Socrates, Plato, or Aristotle, the dudes who went down there and stole the knowledge from the Kemetians. Also, too, as Dr. Ashwat Kwesi, you know, who, you know, he has a series over there, is where the system of the alphabet had came from Kemet. And as you know, Egypt is a Greek word, so we're not going to, you know, give the Greeks credit for nothing, because the only thing they did is they went down there and stole stuff, just like Alexander the Barbarian, you know, who was a savage, and he burned down libraries and stuff like that. We're not going to talk about Julius Caesar. Another idiot, you know what I'm saying? And I don't understand why Cleopatra wouldn't got with that fool, you're saying?
Right.
But the thing is, though, is how systemically, when you look at guys like Ron DeSantis that wants to suppress our knowledge of ourselves with his critical race theory, isn't this here not still going along that scenario of them trying to suppress that great knowledge? I mean, they've been doing it, you know, based on the conversations we've been having over the years, for at least the last 5,000 years.
Chewbacca, if you don't know your history, you're going to repeat it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right about that. Those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it, yeah. And you know who else quoted that saying before he blew his brains out? A dude by the name of Jim Jones.
Jim Jones,
okay.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, Jim Jones. And he was from the Barbary Coast, San Francisco, you know what I mean? And whatnot. And I'm sure, Joe, you remember the case with Jim Jones down there in 1978, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you see? Okay. Yeah, you see? And
oh,
isn't it not said that people perish due to a lack of knowledge? And the worst form of ignorance is ignorance of self.
That's a good book. Hosea, what is that, 4:5? My people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah. And the worst knowledge to lack is knowledge of self.
Yep.
You see, and this is why, Brother Parrish, and please share the hashtag, vote. We've created the hashtag Resurrection of the Mental Dead. And we're trying to get that hashtag out there, so please share it whenever you can. You know, we created it. You know what I mean? It's ours.
Yeah.
You know, Silicon Game Valley gave us the credit for it. And we're going to be asking for donations, you know, for that hashtag as well, too. Now, another thing, though, too, and I've discussed this here, with Sarge, and I see Sarge is missing in action again, so...
Oh, he's in the chat, Chewbacca. He was in the chat. He's back. Yeah, he's in the chat.
Oh, well, tell Sarge to call in, man.
I think he called in earlier, but we wouldn't let him up, so he hung up.
Oh, man. Okay, well, call back in, Sarge. And then also, too, I want to give a shout out there to Sister Akshita Veda.
Yeah.
You know, I discovered, you know, on her YouTube channel, you know, she had put a video up and she had mentioned us, so we definitely appreciate, you know, the sister.
Oh, I've known her for years.
Yeah, Akshita Veda.
Oh, yeah.
And I've traveled through her area of the South, too, Joe. And I'm going to tell you something, Joe. Going through the South at nighttime, man, I felt extremely uncomfortable.
and very nervous.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah, big
come
time.
On, man. What do you mean? I mean, I traveled over the land of Alabama where my ancestors were slaves and were brutalized. You see, that messed with me. I thought about Emmett Till as I crossed Mississippi. And then as I crossed all of the South, the song that kept going through my mind was a song by the one and only Miss Billie Holiday called Strange Fruit. And, you know, being a black man
I mean,
in America.
So you're saying Alabama? Did you come up North Carolina or no?
No. The closest I got to Carolina, Joe, was Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, the great state of Georgia. I went through Augusta, GA, and I was on James Brown Boulevard. Yeah, that's what James
that's
Brown.
That's Stargate territory. That's where Stargate's from.
yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you see. Yeah, so if Sarge wants to call in and hear what Sarge got to say, we appreciate Sarge as our guest host a couple of weeks back on Grand Rising with Chicago, with Chewbacca. And Sarge is a very well-read man, He believes in the U.S. Constitution,
And where did
he
go? Wasn't even around.
And what
Where'd
did he do?
Go,
what
Sarge?
Now?
He wasn't even around for that day.
Yeah, remember
no, Sarge. Yeah. But Sarge did come on the following week because Sarge said that he was out there, in the country area or the unincorporated areas, and he couldn't get a signal on his cell phone.
Did anybody catch my show on Friday? Did anybody listen to me on Friday?
You got five listeners.
All I care about.
I looked at the dashboard. It says you have five listeners.
Whole five. True. What was me?
So Sarge is in the chat room.
That was some strong gems on Friday. Real life, food for thought type shit.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. You see how you do your girl?
Somebody listened. I told you you have five listens.
Alright, and then also too is that we got our like page up on Facebook called Chewbacca's Black Expanse Enhanced. Please, folks, to drop knowledge right there. You can send your hate mail over there or, to the mailbox over there. And we review it, It's because we know we're getting somewhere, And then Donald Trump, hopefully, he goes to the slammer,
You didn't say your favorite phrase.
What's that?
As in human shit.
And I want to make that perfectly clear. Yes, sir, and I want to make that perfectly clear. Thank you for reminding me, And I think, Trump has some psychological issues, He's on a power trip, because it's kind of like that he threw all his people who are loyal to him to the wolves. Look what he did to Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor. When 9-1-1 went down. Now, here he is, America's top criminal.
Mr. Rico.
Plus, he got disbarred. You see what I mean?
He's the one that came up with all them Rico laws in New York.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Trying Trump.
Black men, specifically, young black men in New York. And then he came up with that stop.
Yeah, with his frisk and search.
With him and Bloomberg.
Yeah, with that frisk and search, with no probable cause. You see what I'm saying? But it's just incredible, okay? And I wonder what Joe's feedback is on that. As well, so many of our people went and died in civil rights, in the Civil War, the Revolutionary War. In every war, that the U.S. has been involved in. But yet, though, we are the most hated. You see what I'm saying?
And these ungrateful tethers can't even give us our acknowledgement for making all that even possible for them to even have these rights, these civil rights and all this.
Mm-hmm.
It's benefiting everybody but us.
Right.
Well, wait a second now. A lot of many white people fought in the civil rights era also and lost their lives.
No, Joe Gibson.
You're gonna tell me nobody died?
Joe Gibson. Listen. The civil rights movement, The first civil rights, there was two civil rights movements, first of all. The first one was during Reconstruction. The second one was in the 60s.
Yeah, 1955 is when it started.
And 16th Amendments were specifically for black people, not people of color, not immigrants, not minorities, black people. That was co-opted. Our great Dr. Claude Anderson tells us exactly what went down, because he was the one that came up with the first affirmative action policy in this country under the Jimmy Carter administration. He said that was supposed to be corrective action for what this country did to us and didn't afford us the same opportunities as the average white citizen. Now we go all the way back to Dred Scott. No white man is bound to respect the rights of the Negro. Fast forward, it's 2023. Our rights are still not being respected.
And then
there
you have
why
to
there
come
is
off.
Civil rights. There was no reason for white people to have civil rights, because you know why, Joe Gibson? You already had the Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments applied specifically to white people.
That's correct.
Now,
that's correct. Look, but our bill, but our rights are still being being suppressed too.
Joe Gibson.
Okay, but Joe. Okay, but Joe. All right. Okay. Yeah. 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 I'm sorry, Brother Chair. Yeah. I'm right.
Joe.
Yeah. I'm just gonna ask this question here, Brother Chair. I'm turning it back over to you. Okay, but Joe. Okay, but just like when I was a child. Okay, there was this man who was only 24 years old in a place called Oakland, California, that wrote up a 10-point program. And basically, it was based in the United States Constitution. And they were labeled a terrorist organization. And then you had an old senile bastard by the name of Ronald Reagan with special effects by Grecian formula and crazy glue, who was your 40th president. And when he was the governor, he had outlawed these guys from exercising their constitutional rights. Now, riddle me that, Joe.
Mulford Act.
Okay. Hello, Joe.
I'm not arguing with you there.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Do you believe, Joe Gibson, that black people have the right to their own self-determination?
Of course.
Okay. All right. Do you believe that my people have a right to establish their own schools, their own agricultural farms, their own economical basis as well, too?
Of course, as long as they don't infringe on the rights of others.
Okay.
Just like you wouldn't want me infringing on your rights, correct?
Okay, but hold on, Joe. You see, on a collective basis, my rights have been infringed.
Common law. Do no harm.
Okay, but hold on, Joe. But a whole lot of harm was done to the black man on that plantation system,
right?
To the black family on that plantation system, to the black family doing 100 years later doing the civil rights movement. And then I just want to know, and then anybody, you know, with the alphabetized agenda, you're welcome to give us a call here with your hate mail at 516-418-5996. Okay, now. What do you think Fannie Lou Hamer would say, you know, about this alphabetized agenda and this transgender crap? Okay. What do you think that, let me see, Viola Luiza would say about that, who was a white woman from Detroit, Joe Gibson, who was murdered during the civil rights?
Well, I don't support that. I mean, and I know you don't either. So, you know, that's a sick, perverted lifestyle. That
right.
has no
exactly.
right to stuff on any of it.
And then keep in mind, okay, we got an unknown caller right here. I think we know who this is. In this corner.
It's Sarge, God damn it. It's definitely Sarge. Welcome back, Sarge.
Is this...
Damn, man, you must have been born with a veil. Damn, man. I mean, just like that, you know I'm about to come in and raise a ruckus. But wait a minute. I like to say the last few times I've had a conversation with you, even though we don't agree about a damn thing, they've been very enjoyable. and they were stimulating, and we had responsive, interlocutious exchanges. And that's all it's all about.
So okay,
like, you know,
so you got me on that one.
The dialogue that we've had.
Okay, Sarge, you know, now that we got you front and center, man, what's on your mind? And I know, and here we go, people.
Look, it's not, you know me, Shabak. I don't try to just take over everything. I like to fall in with the flow, whatever the flow may be. Now, if you don't give me the flow, I will take it in any direction. However, I would like to support with what you are trying to illuminate, if it's all possible.
Okay, now, what do you think about your boy, Sarge? I know you love him dearly. And I'm talking about the one and only Dump, okay, is that he was trying to get his trial pushed back to 2026, okay? And the judge down there, I believe at the federal level, has stated no.
Oh, Lord, not that damn funny. Not funny to Mammy.
Now, wait a minute. Now, look, man. As a matter of simple logistics, judicial logistics, the man is facing four indictments in four separate jurisdictions. Now, under any normal procedures, you would expect that his defense attorney would be allowed accommodations to be able to bear the best possible defense for their client. You would think a reasonable judge would make reasonable accommodations for the fact he is facing the logistics of four indictments as an innocent man. That's the normal thing that judges normally do.
Okay,
this is obviously a railroaded attempt to rush him into a conviction. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. Everybody knows it. That's why they want to rush.
Okay, well, Sarge, you know, you're a very intelligent man, you know what I'm saying, and you're dangerous with a napkin holder. You know, I give you that just like the chairman of Montgomery. Okay, now. The Dump, as in human shit, okay, has made some very asinine decisions as the commander-in-chief. And then when that fool said in 2016 when he was running for president, and I think this is the line that got him elected, is when he says, you know, folks, you got a lot of stupid people in politics, and his election proved it. So I can't take that away from the Dump. Okay, and when I say the Dump, I mean that as in human shit, is because I think the man is morally bankrupt. He is a great egotist, okay? I even saw a Monopoly card meme up on Facebook taking a dump to jail that says, don't pass go, don't collect $100, and don't go to Mar-a-Lago.
Can you want me to respond to that, sir, or what?
Yes, sir. Yeah, if you would, sir. Sir, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, look, again, I mean, I understand your antipathy for Donald Trump, and you think that they ought to just have execution first and trial later. But that's still, at this point, until the Soviets take over our judicial system, that's not the way it works. He's entitled to advice of counsel, no matter how they try to charge him, with the very crimes upon which he relied, that rely upon the advice of counsel. For instance, what happened, now, you know, Bonnie Wolves is in possession of a transcript of the Republican electors from the state of Georgia that they made on December 14th, 2020, December 14th, mind you, 2020, in which they discussed the reasons why they were doing what they're doing. They memorialized it in a transcript at the time, long before they were charged with an offense. And they explained what they were pairing was their alternate slate, not fake electors, the alternate slate of electors to be presented to the Congress of the United States in the event that Trump's electoral judicial challenges were upheld in court, like was done in Hawaii in 1960. They put it all down on paper. Fannie Willis has it in her possession, and she is ignoring it as though it doesn't exist, nor does it matter, even though it's going to be introduced as part of the defense at trial.
Okay.
Now,
this is
let me
all
ask
to
you
keep
this.
Jump from being able to run again. And, oh, sorry, I got a question for you. So they keep saying that the 14th Amendment is going to make sure that Trump can't run for president in 2024. Is there any validity to that?
Okay, they can say he's from the moon. And my question to them is, how is it to be determined that Donald John Trump, the 45th president of the United States, participated, fomented, or encouraged an insurrection? How is that to be formally established? Does Democrats only simply declare it to be so, and therefore it is? Is that
because
how we determine that he engaged in an insurrection? How do we formally determine this?
Now you have to go home. You have to go home now. Thank you. But you have to go home now. Remember that?
Wait a minute. I'm just saying, well, whatever. I'm just asking a question. How do we formally determine that he did, in fact, engage in an insurrection or rebellion? How do we do it? We just declare it to be so?
Okay, no, Sarge. First, you got to look at his speech that he gave on January 20th, okay?
Well, that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. So what else you got?
Sarge, he didn't concede.
Yeah, he didn't concede. And then the cold part about it, too, Sarge, Trump, from what I understand.
Wait a minute, he never conceded
was,
the election. Well, when did he concede?
That's
okay,
what I'm saying.
But
he never did concede.
And then keep in mind, Sarge, is that the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, okay, did not even get up there and make a concession speech. Not a concession speech.
No,
his outgoing speech as the president.
Are you saying he engaged in an insurrection?
Okay, no, Sarge, what I'm saying is when the dump lost the election,
he did not even give... to transfer power to Jim Crow, Sleepy Joe Biden.
Right, and he didn't even give a speech, you know, up at the U.S. Capitol before Biden was inaugurated.
I understand all that. I'm still waiting for some sort of evidence that would formally prove or indicate or provide even probable cause that he engaged in an insurrection or rebellion. Nothing you have cited thus far is indicative of that.
Okay, but what about the speech he gave before they stormed the U.S. Capitol?
To peacefully protest at the Capitol? That is fomenting an insurrection?
Did they peacefully protest?
That protest was not peaceful, okay? A woman got killed, you know?
That's his fault?
Yeah.
Okay. Because some people decided
to not do it peaceably.
Therefore, the President of the United States, after asking to be peaceful, after having offered the city of Washington, D.C., and the Capitol the use of 10,000 federalized National Guard troops, somehow Donald Trump is responsible for what people irresponsibly do in response to his measured and temperate comments.
Okay, hold on, Sarge. I know how I'm going to get you on this one, Sarge. Okay, Sarge, you believe in the freedom of speech, right? But nobody has the right to yell fire in a crowded movie theater, and that's what the dump did January
20th. Wait a minute, yes, they do. If there's a fire going on, you do have the right to yell in a crowded theater. If there's a fire
there is no fire.
Okay, but if there was no fire,
okay.
Sarge, okay,
well,
that's that age-old statement.
To what Donald Trump said. He was challenging the election, as he has a right to do. And I have a 10-minute clip of Democrats challenging the election on the floor of the House of Representatives in the form of requesting a formal vote to that effect. They challenged the 2016 election. They challenged the 2018 election. Formally. Donald Trump,
you did not have a presidential election in 2018.
Wait a minute, let me get this straight now. They challenged his election in 2017 after he won. Jamie Raskin asking for an electoral objection to his election.
Are you talking about before he was inaugurated in
2017? Right on the floor of the House of Representatives, declaring his election illegitimate.
Sarge, are you talking about...
Jamie Raskin has the right to do that.
Are you talking about November?
He's not engaging in an insurrection when he does that.
Or are you talking about January 2017?
That's what I'm talking about. I'm
I'm talking about January 2017. Even after, long after the election, Democrats were trying to challenge the election. Formally, in the form of lawsuits and court proceedings.
I can prove it. I don't have to speculate.
That don't surprise us.
None of that is insurrectionist activity.
But riddle me this, though, Sarge. Okay, now riddle me this. Why did Trump get up there and say, hang Mike Pence, when Mike Pence was in his duties as the president of the U.S. Senate? Okay, and his duties as the president of the U.S. Senate, which was the vice president of the United States. He presides over the U.S. Senate, and he is supposed to read off the electoral votes. Okay, so when Pence stood his ground to do that, the first thing that dumped, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, stated was hang Mike Pence. Now, why is he wanting to hang Mike Pence?
Wait a minute, Mike is doing his job. Donald Trump never said to hang Mike. People who broke into buildings said to hang Mike Pence.
He most certainly did.
Some of the rioters said that, not Donald Trump.
No, but Dump did say hang Mike Pence. He was talking to the good old boys out there, the Proud Boys, or whatever with them guys was out there holding all of the illegal weapons.
They were videotaping every second he was speaking. I defy you to show me on tape where he made those remarks. I defy you.
Okay, Brother Che, can you pull up there his speech that he gave, you know?
He made a speech. He made a tweet about that shit.
Okay, he did. Okay, so Stinky Bird took him off, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all righty, okay. Okay, okay, okay. So Donald Trump made
a number of remarks that might even be considered intemperate against Mike Pence. At no time did he suggest he ought to be lynched. He just didn't do that.
He didn't do that. Okay, Sarge. So what we're going to have to do, Sarge, the next time you come on, Sarge, we're going to pull the clip for you, Sarge. Okay, I'm going to ask Brother Parrish to pull the clip because he's real good at that stuff right there. And we're going to put it up here on the audio clip, Sarge, you know, for you to hear. You see what I mean? You know, for you to hear, Sarge. Now, here's what I suggest that every black man and woman needs to do in regard to the panties. And I'm saying that the governor of Florida is a transvestite and he wears women's underwear.
There's blood that's on their hands for the Ryan Palmeter, or whatever the hell his damn name is, that shot up that Dollar Tree in Jacksonville. He's the reason why those black people were killed.
Sarge, many times I have said that people who are...
He says Florida is where woke goes to die. Sarge, woke is code for black. Just like thug is code for black. Just like super predator is code for black. So
exactly. And keep in mind, Sarge and Joe, that there are power in words, okay? Now, see, in the late 1960s and in the early 1970s, they really hated it when black men used to sit up there and refer to each other as brother, okay? But the 80s, the 90s, these contemporary times, oh, they sure do love to put up there black men calling each other the NGR term. And I'm making a point. I'm not nobody's nigga. Don't ever refer to me as that, okay? No, it don't mean an ignorant person or any of that prepackaged it is a derogatory term against black people in general. And also, too, as Dr. Francis Quest Wilson has pointed out, and you and I have researched that there, too, Brother Che, is that through the social engineering programming, is that black males will go off and will kill themselves thinking it's the proper thing to do without even realizing that they've been programmed to do it. Why do you think the black family unit is so shattered? Then you got these black men out here wearing skinny jeans and all this old type of stuff, just like the Reverend down there, you know what I'm saying, you know, who is funnier than a $3 bill, and he got exposed and got videotaped, you know what I'm saying, you know, that type of crap.
Now, wait a minute. I just like to know, now, have we settled this issue of whether or not Donald Trump publicly.
No, we have not settled
this,
Sarge.
No, Sarge, we haven't, Sarge.
Have we settled this
no,
yet?
No, Sarge. We're proving that he did say that, Sarge. He gave the message on
it. How did you prove
okay,
it?
Okay, he got up there, Sarge. He got up there, Sarge, and he told them Proud Boys and all them people there locked and loaded.
Wait, when did he say this? Now, be specific, please.
Yes, sir.
Sarge,
he said this here January 6, 2021.
Between Sleepy Joe and the dump, as in human shit. When he said,
right. And we want to make that perfectly clear.
Stand back, or what did he say exactly, Shabaki? He said, stand
oh, he
back.
Said, yeah, he said, stand by and stay on code. No, stand by and stay alert. And then he was always holding up his fingers in a symbol with three fingers up and in a circle. Okay, see, that's a dog whistle right there. Now, you know,
is
that yourself,
a
Sarge.
Is hang,
those are hand
that's
commands.
Like
those
no,
are hand
like
commands, Sarge. As you...
Sarge, that's
yeah,
like
those are...
I'm very specific in my requests. I'm asking for specific information that he advocated
right.
to anyone publicly to hang, like with a rope and a gibbet
right.
or some sort of lynching post to hang
right.
Mike Pence. This is what I'm looking for the evidence of.
Okay,
okay.
Hold on,
he
Sarge.
Did say that because they was chanting it going through.
I found the video, though. I did find the video, Sarge. But we don't have time
well,
to play.
Well, he said, now I want you to go out there and find Mike Pence and hang him from the highest lamppost in D.C. or
yes.
something to that. Okay,
yeah,
I'd like
he
to
did
say, I like
say
to
hang Mike
Pence. I would like to hear
he
it.
Did say
well,
hang
you can
Mike
host
Pence.
Grand Rising on Friday, Sarge. And we can go
well,
out
there. I'm going to be there.
You
I'm
can guest
this.
Host again, Sarge. And you can
I'm gonna
guest host again.
I'm going to be there. Because I want to
okay,
hear this.
You can guest host. Yeah, yeah.
I've
you
been
can
looking
guess
for all.
This,
I've been looking this evidence for the last few months. Ain't nobody showed it to me yet. No, sir.
Okay.
Now I have read of some aide who said
Trump
that in private conversations that they accused Donald Trump of saying this, but not in any public commentary.
Uh huh. Okay. Now let me ask you this, here, Sarge.
January
okay.
6th panel releases never before seen footage of Trump recording message to. Capital rioters.
I mean, now,
okay.
now you are aware
no
that on many occasions, in a joking manner, I have suggested
riot.
That members of the Biden administration ought to be hanged. Now,
well,
does that
okay,
mean
Sarge.
I want to have some hanged?
You're getting
Sarge,
an argument you're
getting
from
an
me
argument
with
from
that.
Us that
okay.
They all need to be
not
home.
At all. Okay, now, the first dude who they need to boot out is this Demick Rami Salami idiot.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Roman noodles.
Okay, now, yeah, Rami Salami, okay, and if you out there, Salami, or whatever you call yourself with your cash system, you welcome to call the number in, too, Kat.
That motherfucker straight raises like I've been
418-5996 is because you see, Rami Salami, you offended me. Okay, it's because where you come
I've
from, you people have a caste system, and then as bad as your caste system is, Rami Salami, it's worse than segregation of the old Jim Crow South. And then not to keep in mind that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was from the ATL,
he
Atlanta, Georgia.
He called us the Grand Wizards.
Okay, but
he
see, he was a follower.
Like the Grand Wizards of the KKK.
Oh, he was talking
he
about.
He all of
no,
us. We're down there the KKK.
Ayanna
the day
Presley.
We switched sides, man.
Yeah, he was talking about Ayanna Presley.
yeah.
Still,
though.
She's a Grand
okay.
Wizard all of a sudden. That broad,
okay.
I would never let
okay.
that broad be the Grand
well,
Wizard of nothing.
You might
want to
ask, You might want to ask Joe Biden about his relationship with the Grand Kleagle of the West Virginia Ku Klux Klan, Robert Barr. You might want to ask Joe Biden about that relationship. By the way, he gave the eulogy at his funeral.
We already know that.
Let's talk about black people.
We already know that.
Well, a lot of people might don't act like they know it.
That's
oh,
they
I do. You know what I'm saying?
Propaganda on MS, it should be MS. DNC, because that's all it is Democratic bullshit. But
Oh, yeah. Same thing like Tucker Carlson, you know what I'm saying?
I'm glad that you know it, sir. I'm really gratified to know that you know that. We need to let more people know about that who don't.
Oh, yeah. Sarge, you'll get no argument from me. You know what I'm saying? Now, also, too, Sarge, okay, is that the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, okay, is that he did not even attend Biden's inaugural address, is because isn't it customary for the outgoing president to address the assembly at the U.S. Capitol of the inauguration of the incoming president?
You had to be invited to the inaugural. You think he should have just insinuated himself there?
Okay, but Sarge, he was the outgoing president. Okay.
No, you don't even understand what I just said. They didn't want him.
Okay, but hold on, Sarge. Okay, when the dump left the White House,
you can't just push your way in.
Okay, Bassard, when the dump left the White House, okay, on January 20th, 2021, okay, you saw him take some of his personal stuff, probably shit that he stole out the White House. You saw his cronies with boxes and what have you. They got there on Marine One, Sergeant, but you've been in the Marine Corps. I know you know what Marine One is. And Marine One flew straight out there to Andrews Air Force Base, okay? And they landed Marine One. The dump got on his last flight on Air Force One. You see what I'm saying? They dropped his sorry ass down there off into Florida, and then it got back up in the air coming back to D.C. Now, the dump, okay, on this bogus reelection campaign that he's got going on, he's got his own airline. It says dump right there on the side of it. You know that's him. And then, which was a severe miscarriage of justice, is that when the dump went down there to Atlanta International Airport, he's got all that Secret Service down there. He goes in there, Sarge. He gets booked. He's in and out in 15 minutes, Sarge. It takes people 3 and 4 days to get booked. And then why not was the dump given his county orange jumpsuit? Why not the dump was not stripped ass naked to go take a shower to wash his nasty ass? You see what I'm saying? With 45 other different men. You see what I'm saying?
I'll tell you why. You ask the question, I'm prepared to answer.
Okay,
because
what's that?
Prior to surrendering, as part of the surrender agreement with the Fulton County authorities, his lawyers, as is their wont to do when you are issued a date to surrender and you have legal representation, they will negotiate the parameters of the surrender and the posting of bond. All of this was done prior to Donald Trump arriving there. There was no need for it. The purpose of bond is not to humiliate anyone. It is to ensure your appearance in court, not to humiliate you.
What? To humiliate us.
Sarge.
Well, I mean, did you doubt anything that I just said? Because I've seen it before.
Yeah. I know somebody, Sarge, you know, who got arrested. Was given a jumpsuit, man, and had to wait 3 days before he had to go to court.
No, I'm talking
about before
you surrender, you negotiate the surrender, the terms of the bond, and have it all
this
set.
Dude,
he didn't negotiate no surrender at all,
Sarge.
Fingerprinted, given a mugshot, and sent on your way. That is common.
No, Sarge, what happened with this guy here that I'm talking about, Sarge, he was arrested by the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Okay,
he was told to put his hands upside his head.
He was handcuffed. You know what I'm saying? He had a bleeding lip. Okay, and then he was told by the LA.
Okay. He was told by the Los Angeles County Sheriff, you have the right to remain silent, and I suggest
you're ignoring
you
everything I just said as though it didn't matter.
No, Sarge, I'm not. I'm talking about
Prior
Sarge.
To Donald Trump surrendering, his lawyers negotiated the appearances and the posting of his bond. It was set at $250,000.
There's another issue
that you seem to be relentlessly determined to ignore, and that is that there is a logistical problem for all of the Secret Service agents that are required to remain with him and protect him.
Yes,
the Fulton County Jail has no way to properly handle all of those Secret Service agents and Donald John Trump. It was a matter of logistics as well as a matter of negotiating a pre-surrender arrangement.
Sorry.
Okay, and also, too, let me say this here. Please,
I mean, I know you're determined to ignore these facts because you don't like Donald Trump. But nonetheless, they do exist.
Go ahead, Sarge. Please, nobody hang up. We are in overtime
now. I understand you don't like that. You want him humiliated. You want him treated like a perp. You want to see him perp walk and all that other stuff. Put in an orange jumpsuit, manacled and shackled.
No,
I understand that's what you want to see. But
Sarge,
I'm saying
I wanted
this
to see
not,
him
this does not
like
happen when there are
is.
Pre-arrest negotiations. Remember, the Fulton County District Attorney gave him an order to surrender. His lawyers responded to the order to surrender. As a result, they were able to negotiate the terms of that surrender. It is not uncommon for Donald Trump or any other defendant who has a lawyer representing him before they surrender. It happens all the time.
Sarge. Okay, the Sarge. Now, what about those who don't have that privilege, Sarge, those who are handcuffed, and arrested?
Ask O.J. Simpson about that. Same thing. You got the money, you can do If you got the money for a lawyer, you can do that.
Okay, but Sarge. Okay, now Sarge. O.J. Simpson was booked at Los
Angeles
County Jail.
When I made an arrest, the guy didn't have a lawyer in. I said, you can call your lawyer. But, you know, they ain't made no pretrial arrangement. The district attorney didn't issue an order for surrender. I either made an arrest on a warrant or on a probable cause or on an on-view situation. So there wasn't no ability to do that. I made an arrest and took him to jail.
Okay, but Sarge. That's my point.
So you
got to
wait for judge
no
and arraignment to set the bail.
Okay, but Sarge.
That's why they stay in jail
people,
for 2 or 3 days while they're pending making bail.
Okay, Sarge. When you booked them into the Crook County Jail, and I'm talking about your C-R-O-O-K in Chicago. Yeah,
26th
Crook
California.
County. Now, Sarge. Now. The thing is, though, is that the dump, they sat up there, man, and they had his boys with him and all of this and this protection. He was only in there 20 minutes. Sarge.
Because they made all the arrangements. They wanted to get all them Secret Service agents out of there. Then you think they look, you know what a mess the Fulton County Jail is? Do you think they wanted any more cameras in there and that's it? Record the filth, the depravity, the depraved mess that the wretched Fulton County Jail is? They got people there being eaten alive by bed bugs.
LaShawn Thompson.
They made a raid. They wanted to get him in and out. They wanted to get rid of him as quick as they could.
Okay, Sarge. Here's what they need to do with the dump, as in human shit. And I want to make that perfectly clear.
See, I answered your question. I see how quick I did it.
Okay, but Sarge. Then what they should have did was took his ass over there to Mar-a-Lago, locked him in one of his bathrooms, man, you know what I'm saying, with an ankle bracelet on. That's what they should have did to the dump.
Okay. All right.
But the way how they got him in and out of there, the way they got him in and out of Fulton County Jail, which is notorious like the Cook County Jail, which is notorious like Rikers Island, which is notorious like the Los Angeles County Men's Central Jail down there on Boucher Street.
Chewbacca, have you yet given me any evidence that Donald Trump was involved in an insurrection rebellion? I'm still waiting for it. Is why they should vote Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
Yes,
I'm still waiting for it.
The statement that he made January 21st.
With Sarge, Mr. Quill.
All right, I hope you'll provide it for me by then, because thus far I have heard bupkis, zero, nothing.
Okay, so now let me make sure I understand this, Sarge. And we're on the air, okay, and everybody can hear us. And let me make that perfectly clear. To quote another crook by the name of Tricky Dick, and Trump makes that dude look like a Boy Scout. Okay, but anyway.
Yeah, he didn't have 91 counts against him of criminal action. 91 counts. In fact, I'm trying to think of American history where anyone, a mafia godfather, a serial killer, a mass murderer, anyone, has had four separate indictments in four separate jurisdictions involving 91 total counts of criminal activity. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of the United States. This is a record.
Well,
Donald Trump,
didn't
once
happen
again,
to Bundy.
Breaks records.
It didn't happen to Angelo Bono. It did not happen to Charles Manson.
It didn't happen to John Gotti.
Okay, well, Sarge, that there was the Teflon
Dime. It happened to Salvador, what's his name, the Sammy the Bull Gravano.
Okay, yeah, well, they Teflon, Sarge.
They have nobody.
Nothing stick.
Nobody in history has ever had anything like this. Four separate indictments at the same time?
Okay, well, that shows. Then that
in
shows,
four
Sarge,
separate
that your man is either.
Never.
Okay, but Sarge. But it just goes to show that either this man is psychotic, okay? He's a drunk. He's on
maybe
drugs.
Maybe someone's waging lawfare.
His mind is,
and that's a possibility, too, I think.
Okay, but Sarge. You know it, and I know it, and the American people know it, is that the dump is guilty as hell. And what the game is, man, is how he's going to skate up out of it. And then and let's see. Now, let's see if he is elusive as a hummingbird. You know what I'm saying? To quote that.
And forget, Shaka, that I'm very literate, and I read all of the indictments. That's why I don't believe he's guilty of a damn thing. I read them. I read the indictments.
Oh, my gosh.
I can recite to you the critical portions of the indictment. That's why I don't believe any of
it. Tell you what, Sarge. Tell you what, Sarge. If I'm ever charged with a crime, Sarge, what I'm going to do, man, I'm going to have you represent me in court. Okay? Because
I don't have a license to practice law in any jurisdiction. But I would be happy. I would be happy to advise your counsel. If you ever find yourself in such a predicament.
Okay, well, if I represent myself, I might bring you in as co-counsel.
Okay, well, then you'd be pro se, and I can advise you as a co-counsel, yes.
I'll say you're going to jail if you do this.
Now, keep in mind, Sarge, okay, with artificial intelligence, okay, that I cannot stand, okay, now I'm going to tell you another bastard who belongs in the defense of the seat. Next to the dump, his name is Bill Gates. You see what I mean? I mean, this
don't
Microsoft
Fauci.
Crap.
Don't forget Fauci, Shabaka.
Oh, yeah, Fauci. Yeah, he needs to go before the world court. You see what I'm saying? Because he committed crimes against humanity.
Fauci needs stones.
Oh, God. The one guy who didn't start a war for the whole 4 years of his presidency, and you want him to go for the International Court at The Hague.
No,
the one guy didn't get us into a war.
The
one president. We didn't bomb anybody except in Syria, where he killed a bunch of Russian mercenaries.
Sorry. We're talking about Fauci. The leprechaun.
Huh?
Fauci.
International crime did he commit as president of the United States?
Okay, riddle me this here, Sarge, before we get cut off. Okay, riddle me this here, Sarge. Okay, now, the dude, to me, who was the smartest one out of the dump regime, and that's what it was a regime, okay, was Dumbo. You remember Dumbo, the dude that had
the
ears, that looked like Dumbo? Yeah, I'm talking about Jefferson Beauregard Sessions. You know, he was the first one to jump ship.
Third, Jeff Beauregard Sessions the third.
Yeah, yes, Jefferson Beauregard the third. Oh yeah, okay. And he had those ears look like Dumbo, man, out the Walt Disney movie. You know what I'm saying? There's the one that he couldn't fly away with them ears.
Yeah.
Okay, he was the smartest one out the bunch. Okay,
I ain't never seen an elephant fly.
Okay, no, but Dumbo, man, wasn't so dumb after all. He bailed out first, okay?
Yeah.
He bailed out first. You see, he saw the handwriting on the wall. You see what I'm saying? Because the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, okay? was a maniac, okay? Even his own niece used to go on there on the Cartoon News Network, okay? You know, and talk about how the dump was when he was a kid. You know, he was very narcissistic. He hates to lose, Sarge. That's what it boils down to. Now, even the greatest, Muhammad Ali, when he got decked, you know, by Joe Frazier, you know what I'm saying? He gave Joe Frazier his props, and he also told Smoking Joe, hey, man, we're going to do this here again. And then you had the Thriller in Manila, where the gentle genius by the name of Eddie Futch had told Smoking Joe, going into the 15th round, sit down, son. It's over. Okay, now this is what the dump needs to do, okay? Somebody needs to go up there and tell the dump, as in human shit, and I would like to make that perfectly clear. Sit down, son. It's over. Okay.
Chewbacca,
he's
Chewbacca,
yes.
Do you have any evidence whatsoever that the referee was throwing a fight in favor of Joe Frazier?
Sarge, the way Joe
I don't have any either, so I don't have any complaint about
Eddie
the way that fight. Because the referee did his job fairly well. He kept both fighters under control, and he made them adhere to the rules. So I don't have any complaint in that respect. However, I got a bunch of information about 2020 election that is really kind of strange and peculiar and, dare I say it, irregular.
Okay, Sarge, okay. You get no argument from me, man, that that 2020 election stunk to high hell. Okay,
yeah.
You get no argument from me.
You admit that, Chewbacca. I got to give you some props. Now, hold on.
Sarge, when you look at Hyde and Biden, who came up there with that federal crime bill that led to massive incarceration of young black males. Biden sponsored that federal crime law that was signed into law in 96 by Bill Clinton.
Every crime bill from 1972. Onward.
Very, very interesting. 1972. Yeah. Yeah, that there was the beginning of the decline of the black empowerment era. Yeah. And then this is where you had another unstable cross-dresser that wore woman's underwear by the name of John Edgar Hoover.
It's Gay Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, exactly. You see what I'm saying? Now, he belonged in jail. You see what I'm saying? The man was a terrorist. Okay? Everybody was afraid of Hoover. Presidents were afraid of Hoover. Robert Kennedy told Hoover that, said, and he told Hoover straight out, not only do you got too much power, but the power that you have, Mr. Hoover, is not only is it morally wrong, it is extremely dangerous. And this is why you got AI spying on your conversations. This is why AI shadow bans Chewbacca's
black experience.
We got
AI spying on our conversations because of old Sambo with the N-A, what is that shit, the N-A-A, N-D-A-A, and Homeland Security, and
right.
All that bullshit that was starting on
Are you familiar with reforms that Donald Trump initiated in the federal justice system involving the First Step Act, such as eliminating three strikes life sentencing provision for some offenses, expanding judges' discretion in sentencing, that he addressed addressed programs to promote rehabilitation of offenders once they were released. He included $400 million to expand access to First Step Act programs, that he did all these reforms in the federal criminal justice system. Did you not pay attention to any of that?
Yes, I did, Sarge.
And then, Sarge, hold on, Sarge.
Pell grants?
Okay, hold on, Sarge. Now, here's one thing that the dump did, although he still compare him to human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear. But one thing that the dump did is that he pardoned posthumously Jack Johnson for violating the Mann Act.
Among others.
Yep.
Okay, dump did do that.
Many
dump
others
did
who were living.
Like 5,000 people.
Okay, but
like
see,
Mary Johnson,
though,
who was in prison for life. Remember
okay,
that?
Enlighten me on that case there. That sounds
Louisiana?
Familiar. Okay, that sounds familiar.
SARS, didn't the dump as in human shit part in like 5,000 people?
Money who was serving federal, he either pardoned them or commuted their sentences. Who was serving federal sentences.
Okay, now the dump did do that, and he also pardoned Jack Johnson. Now, as you know, Sarge, Jack Johnson was the first black heavyweight champion of the world. This is why, Sarge, every time I go through Reno, Nevada, okay, I sit there, man, on a mountain, and I look over Virginia Street, okay, is because the history that happened there July 4th, 1910, was just absolutely incredible. It's where Jack Johnson had beat so much ass, okay, and he was involved with a white woman, okay, and Reno, Nevada,
they used to
fight.
They used to find him.
For James
J. Like, they used to give him like a $5,500 ticket for speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, oh,
in
I'm
Golden
gonna
Gate
give
Park,
speech.
Yeah, because Jack Johnson used to like his gold drag.
Now, are you? I want to make sure you're not
Donald
holding Donald Trump responsible for that, are you?
Yeah, Donald Trump
sure.
posthumously pardoned the former heavyweight champion Jack Johnson. Yes, he did do that. Okay, are we in overtime now? Okay, please, don't nobody hang off. We're in overtime, okay? All right, and please don't nobody hang off, okay? Because we're going to debate with Sarge all the way till they pull the plug on us again, okay? Because they do not like the truth that comes over here. That's right.
5 minutes.
No, okay. All right, okay. So then let's everybody do our semi-closing statements, and we're going to continue this conversation with the one and only Sarge, and he's welcome to guest host again this Friday on Grand Rising with Shabaka. Okay.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, though, Sarge, and then I'm really telling this here to people who support Joe Biden, okay, is that Joe Biden sponsored that federal crime bill that led to massive incarceration. Now, also, too, keep in mind that there were a lot of people in the black community due to the gangs of Chicago, Los Angeles, Denver, Colorado, New York, Philadelphia,
uh-huh.
Buffalo, New York, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, St. Louis,
uh-huh.
Missouri, Detroit, Michigan, Cleveland, Ohio, had went up there to them, hey, man, to do something, man, about this criminal activity in the black community. And it was bad. And it is bad, okay? But the way how you counterman that, instead of throwing everybody in jail, you give them some jobs. Let them create some jobs.
Right.
Let them become self-sufficient. You see what I'm saying? It's because, see, as James Brown said in 1968, we're people too, you see?
Yep, exactly.
You know? Yeah, see, now, we're people too. In fact, we're the original people. We gave the world the sciences.
Right.
We gave the world engineering. We gave
that's
the world
right.
medicine. We gave the world navigation. We gave the world, you know, mathematics. And this is why when they talk about these two punks, three of them, Aristotle, Plato, and who was the other dude, man,
Socrates.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, talking about they went down there to Egypt and they made all these discoveries and all that. The only thing they did was plagiarism. Period.
Yep.
Professor George G.M. James told you that in Stolen Legacy.
Yep.
So why are we, as the people, Sarge, okay, going to sit up here and state that we're all the same? There ain't nothing with that. And like I told Joe Gibson and like I told some of my other haters, hey, to prove that we ain't the same, come bring your asses out here to Las Vegas, Nevada in the next couple of weeks. And I think that we're going to have a temperature of about 102 degrees, okay, and stand in the sun with me. And I invite them to come stand in the sun with me. Now bring a little bit of water with you because you're going to get thirsty. Okay, don't bring no sunscreen. Don't bring no tent. Don't bring no canopy. And I will prove to you in about 30 minutes or less of how we are not the same.
You seem to forget, Brother Shabaka, that I served with men in temperatures of up to 105 degrees with 100% humidity, carrying 80 to 120 pounds on our backs, up and down through swamps, terrain, bushy jungle, and every goddamn thing else. And I'm telling you right now, when it came to who was able to withstand the heat and the horrid committee, I could not see any significant difference between white soldiers and black soldiers when they were in good physical condition. I'm telling you right now.
Okay,
I saw as many black soldiers fall out from heat exhaustion and heat stroke as I did white ones. Did nobody have an advantage in that respect? Once the soldiers were acclimated and in good physical condition.
Okay, but but did any of the brethren get sunburned?
Remember, I saw this for 18 months.
But did any of the brothers get sunburned? And humidity is horrible.
Well, no, that's the one thing I'll give you. But as far as being able to submit or survive and thrive in the atmosphere, I saw many whites who could handle it better than many blacks, and vice versa.
Okay.
Now, I will give you on a sunburn, but then again, white people are not devoid of melanin. They tan, too, for the most part.
Sarge, I was born with my tan, and I thank God for it.
Come on now.
I'm just telling you, man. I'm telling you what I'm giving the empirical evidence of my own eyes.
Okay, all right.
I'm talking about folks in good physical condition who have been acclimated to the climate, and they get a tan, and they're perfectly capable of handling the heat and the humidity as well or better than anybody of any race.
Sorry. If they're getting a tan, that means they're not Scandinavian Caucasoid.
And what is that supposed to mean? I mean, what do black people do in the Arctic? That's a natural condition, too.
Mother Nature made it.
God made it.
Sarge.
I mean, I didn't do that good. And I tell you one damn thing. I didn't cope very well with hypothermia in Germany when we were out in the field for a week or two at a time. And they wouldn't cancel training unless the temperature got below 10 below zero. And I'm out there sleeping out there on that ground. I didn't cope too well. And a lot of other brothers I know didn't like it one damn bit either.
No, because we're not cold.
No, that's too cold. Yeah,
that's what I'm just saying, man. You know, human beings learn how to adapt to whatever climate they're in. That's one of the great things about being human. We can adapt to anywhere we choose to be, even outer space. And you know we don't belong in outer space.
Well, Sarge, the only thing I got to say about that.
That's what they do, because we're human. We figure out ways to do it.
Okay, but Sarge, with Jeff Bezos and with the dude who runs Verizon and Elon Musk, what they need to do is that the next time they go on SpaceX, okay, they need to get on that damn thing and fly it straight to the friggin' sun, and all of humanity will benefit with them dudes no longer being on the planet. You
well,
get no argument to be on
first because it's kind of it's going to be a little difficult to reach that far, I'm not saying for current technology, to get to the sun, because it's just too goddamn far away. We ain't figured out how to get there. But let's assume for a moment that we had the technology to get to the sun. Then we would never be able to get close to it before whatever craft we were flying there in was burnt to a crisp. And I guess that's your point.
We got the technology
right?
to get to Jupiter, but we ain't got the technology to get to the sun.
Well, no, not as it exists right now, no. We don't have technology. You know how far away the sun is?
How far?
93 million miles.
Exactly. So what technology we got that can fly 93 million miles into space or travel that far, not fly, travel? Because you don't fly in outer space.
Tell you what, Sarge. What they could do, the way Microsoft is ripping everybody off, man, with their bullshit feeds and Google and all of that, and that bastard by the name of Bill Gates, okay,
they got the money to build SpaceX to go straight to the sun. And then you remember when they tried
wait,
to take
no,
off
they don't.
On their last
I don't
time,
know if any well
that
there might be technology that could, but I don't know of it, and I'm sure you don't either.
What's that, Star?
Oh,
the technology that exists to travel 93 million miles into the universe.
Sarge.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if
there's
technology that's available
to the outer planets, right? The gas giant planets, but we ain't got the technology to travel to the sun.
93 million? No, we don't have the technology to go 93 million miles. No, no.
Now, Sarge.
Sorry.
Why am I out here in this desert? Why am I out in this desert that they used to blow up nuclear bombs at in the 1950s? Right. They got the technology to do it, Sarge. They do. Basil's.
What is that, pray tell? Because I don't know of anything. If you know, would you please enlighten me?
Okay, they got the technology to do it, Sarge. The only thing that they got to do, okay, is take that money, man, that they ripping the people off on the Google cars, on these laptops, on Dell phones, and all of that, right? They got the technology to do it and fly that bastard straight into the sun and be sure to have Bezos on that plane, Musk on that plane, Bill Gates on that plane, and out there would do humanity a very, very, very well amount.
Jupiter is further from us than the sun is, and we somehow got the technology to travel to Jupiter, but we can't travel to the sun.
Okay, folks, I think we just got cut off. Sarge.
I'm here,
yeah,
man.
Okay,
I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, Chewbacca.
Yeah, there you are.
Hey, Chewbacca, I'm back, man. Sorry, I had to take a call. Guess who I got on the phone with me right now?
Who is that?
Pianchi. Yo mama.
Yes, brother Pianchi is on.
Yo,
he wants to
God.
Wish you salutations, greetings.
No,
Pipermint.
He wishes
you had a great flavor day.
Man, does he know that it's already the end of the call? The end of the
show?
He does, okay.
But he wishes he was in
he's
on it.
He's a little late on the update.
Okay, well, we would have
loved
that,
he's calling me. He wishes he was on this call with you right now.
No. Pianchi knows the number. He knows when we come on. So
yeah,
Pianchi
has no excuse.
He can call in whenever he feel like it.
Well, he says he's going to get going right now, but I just want you to know that he does wish you a happy post-Labor Day and a happy fall season.
Post-Labor Day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
You know, every day should be Labor Day for Foundation of Black Americans, to say.
Okay, but also, too, folks, I got some very, very sad news to announce in regard to Chewbacca and Pianchi. And this was very disheartening.
The dove dropped out.
Okay, to find out that Chewbacca and Pianchi were brothers.
Wait, you mean that in the literal or the figurative sense?
In the literal sense, off the research that I've done about the feral Chewbacca and also, too, about the feral Pianchi. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, now what do you plan to do with
enemy.
Newfound information?
And there can only be one.
Okay. Well, Sarge, it's sad news, Sarge, and you do not get off into you and I's age group, okay, by being stupid or ignoring facts, okay? Now, I understand this is very, very sad news, but the thing is, though, Sarge, I appreciate him. If Joe Gibson is with us, I hope he hears this well, too. I respect the black man who drops the name of the raping, slave-trading pedophile, you see, and takes on his ancestral names, okay, because that's identity. You see what I mean? And as you know, Sarge, you were back in the day when a young guy who's the heavyweight champ from Louisville, Kentucky, I ain't got to say his name, okay, who went 15 rounds with a guy by the name of Ernest Terrell. And he battered him to a pulp, and he said those infamous words, "What's my name?" As he earned a flurry of double jabs, triple crosses, you know what I'm saying, overhand right. And he beat Terrell to a pulp, you say. And the thing that I really did enjoy seeing on a clip from Wild World of Sports after the fight where Ali was talking to Howard Cosell, and they had Terrell in a phone booth, and Terrell had on glasses, Band-Aids all over his mug, and he was battered to a complete halt. Because what Mr. Terrell did is that he made a very, very grave mistake of keep calling that man by the name of the slave traders that owned his family in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Grave insult. Mm-hmm. Now, you know this here, Sarge, that when a black man drops the name of the raping slave trading pedophile that owned his family and you keep, you're referring to him by that name, that is a very, very grave insult, because I've had idiots inbox me talking about some dude named Cassius Clay. I never heard of him. Then they would say, the guy from Louisville. I says, okay, well, you know, you had a couple of fighters from Louisville, the ALI and another guy by the name of Jimmy Ellis, I believe. Okay. And then, and as he stated, how come they can't call him by his name? You see, and I'm going to tell you why. Because that is the ingrained racism that's in the American ethos. Now, Sarge, you're very knowledgeable on the Constitution. You're very knowledgeable on law and what have you. But can you answer me this question, Sarge? When did we, as a people, on a collective basis, petition the U.S. government to be citizens here?
What day was that, Sarge? What day and year was that?
Because there is no need to do that in 2023. Because any black person or any person that is born in the United States to parents who are citizen is automatically, under both international law and United States law, a natural-born citizen of the United States as
I don't know, man. I think you should read that back in that birth certificate.
Okay, but Sarge,
we belong to them.
Okay, but Sarge, when did we, as a people, on a collective basis, petition the U.S. government to be citizens of the great old USA?
The answer is
again,
no.
I repeat what I just said. If they are born in the United States and they are here lawfully, and one or both of their parents are not U.S. citizens, they are then citizens by virtue of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Automatically, there is no need for such a petition.
Sir, but Part I ask again,
14th
once
Amendment,
again, Sarge.
When
okay,
did
Sarge,
we petition
I
the United States?
The same question again.
But I gave
I'll
you the
you
other
guys.
Scenario where if both of your parents were citizens and you were born mm-hmm. in one of the United States or any territory of the United States, mm-hmm. you are automatically, without any need for any petition, a natural-born citizen of the United States as am
as
I. As of any year after 1868 in the adoption of the 14th Amendment.
Okay, but Sarge, once again,
so far,
I'm asking a direct question.
When did we
as a people, on a collective basis, circulate any petition or went to the U.S. Congress and en masse, meaning in great numbers, stating that we want to be citizens here? So
Under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, you are free to petition your government for redress of any grievance you have. All I'm trying to explain to you is that your petition is legally irrelevant because you obtained citizenship, natural-born citizenship, by being born to United States citizens in any territory or state
after
of the United States.
Right?
It's legally irrelevant. You can do it if you want to, but it will have no bearing upon your citizenship status.
Okay, but sorry, once again, when did we, as black people,
we never did. We don't need to.
That's my point, Sarge. We never did. Move to the head of the class,
Sarge. What do we need to do it for? The law already provides for it.
Okay, but Sarge, but we black people have advocated those laws.
Wait a minute. Say that again, because I definitely didn't understand that.
Okay,
the
but what black people
is only as good as its enforcement.
Wait a minute. What black person born in the United States to U.S. citizens is not considered a natural born citizen? Would you please explain that to me? I want you to give me example of it.
Yes.
I want you to give me an example of any human being, black or white, in the United States who is acknowledged to have been born to parents who are citizens in any state of the union who is not considered a natural born citizen of the United States. Would you please point that person to me? Because I know
prior,
I'm such a person.
Prior to 1868.
Prior to any year, man. I mean, man, it could be 1658 for all I care. You know what I'm saying? It's just
I'm gonna assume by your answers that you're not answering the question that you don't know of any such person, because I sure don't.
Besarge. Okay, I see Joe dropped. Okay. And we're in overtime. Okay.
I gotta get off of here, Shabaka, because Grand Rock.
Stream.
Black Nose Stream.
I'm just letting you know, Sarge here, even though I wasn't conscious of such things at the moment of my birth, I am certain to a moral certainty that I was born a natural-born citizen of the United States from the moment I emerged from my mother's birth canal. This I know for certain, even though I was not conscious of the event because I was an infant.
Okay, Sarge. Okay. But like I said, Sarge, you supported my premise once again to the utmost. You were the mortar of it. Okay, we never did, Sarge.
What you saying? I'm an exception. There ain't no other black people who are in the same status as me. I think that's the overwhelming majority, like 99%, or maybe 95% of the black people in the country, except for maybe the 5% that came from the West Indies or Africa.
Every
other black person in the country is naturally born a U.S. citizen.
Okay, but Sarge, okay.
I got a birth certificate.
There was a partial DNA in my family tree, Sarge, okay? Well, we traced our family to parts of the Cameroon and Nigeria, okay?
Well, we share that, then you might be a cousin of mine. That's what I got.
Okay.
I got
right,
Cameroon,
also,
I got Togo, I got Nigeria, I got Mali, and I got the Congo.
Oh, okay. Well, Sarge, then you qualify for the auction block for the United States of America.
I already know that, man. I also got Ireland and Germany and France and Scotland and Wales.
Sarge.
That's all in there, too.
Okay, besides, those are the raping, slave trading pedophiles.
Well, how do you know? I mean, Muhammad Ali acknowledged his great-grandfather, Abe Grady, who married his great-grandmother. He didn't rape her. He married her. He lived the rest of his life with her.
Okay, but Sarge, okay, I got
to. And that was Muhammad Ali,
book.
The man you just mentioned. He went to County Clare in Ireland, and he was acknowledged and recognized as a citizen of County Clare by virtue of his grandfather, Abe Grady, who married his black great-grandmother. He married her.
Sarge.
You can't make a greater commitment to a woman than to marry her.
Okay, but Sarge, okay. But Thomas Jefferson was a raping, slave trading pedophile. Also.
Now you
got
to change
that. Okay. No, I'm not changing the subject. I'm still talking about the same thing.
Wait, what was it? What was Thomas Jefferson now? Do you say he fathered Sally Hemings' children?
Okay. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that Thomas Jefferson, like George Washington, was a raping, slave trading pedophile. Yes. Those are my words of what I'm saying about those military
slave
trading.
Are you saying he fathered her children?
No, I'm saying that he violated woman, whether emotionally, physically, or mentally.
Well, he may have, but how do you know that he raped?
Because it was against the will, Sarge.
He didn't.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute.
I'm not saying
he didn't. I want to know how you know that he raped.
Okay, whoa, Sarge. I got one better for you than that. You saw the motion picture Mandingo, didn't
he? He may have raped her, but I want you to tell me how you know that he did.
Just like you said, Sarge. Do you remember the motion picture Mandingo with Ken Norton?
Yeah, that's a classic, man. I got that on DVD.
Hold on, Sarge. And what did the white woman tell Ken Norton? That you're going to fuck me
or I'm going to tell the master that you raped me. So he was damned if he do, damned if he don't. And the reason why the white woman told him that is because her white husband kept violating the black slave girl that was played by Brenda Sykes. You see what I'm saying?
Did you ever read the book Mandingo? Because I did.
Hell fucking no.
And
Sarge,
I'm just telling you, man, that book is literally pornography. And so was the movie. It was like some kind of fantasy, puerile, antebellum, pornographic, lurid, steamy fantasy.
Sarge.
I mean, come on, you're not taking that seriously as history, are you?
Okay, Sarge.
Even though there were elements of truth in it. You're not taking that seriously as history, are you?
Okay, Sarge, okay. To quote the words of Malcolm X, okay, who used himself as an example, is because, as you know, Sarge, he was a light-skinned brother that had red hair, and they used to call him Detroit Red in his hustling days in Harlem.
Yeah, right.
Okay, all righty. And then, as he had stated, okay, and then I got the book somewhere. I'm going to pull this up here on Grand Rising on Friday, just for you, Sarge, okay? So I got to go through it. I got to underline it of his exact words. Sarge, slavery.
You got 20
brutal.
Minutes. Until Frontline Black News.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're going to sign up on the show right here, Sergeant. We'll see you on Grand Rising at 11 a.m. your time, Sarge. Now, please don't be out there in the swamps of Georgia.
I ain't going to be
man.
Shooting no hogs, man. I'm going to stay right here on Friday.
Yeah, okay, Sarge. So once again, Sarge, we're going to bill you as the guest host on Chewbacca's Black Experience with Grand Rising, okay, because your numbers are coming up, Sarge, and please spread the word, you know, and let Joe Gibson know, let all the hillbillies
but
Bianchi,
know.
You know,
if
the,
I could bring Kip Bianchi to come on board,
he
would you welcome
more
him
than welcome
the,
to come in and debate as well, too. And then if we can get Brother Warren to join us, that'll be great also, and it'll be
yeah,
a nice,
maybe
it might wonderful.
Yeah, maybe actually get him to answer a question. That would be truly revelatory. Yeah.
Okay, well, great. Okay,
but you will ask questions. He won't, man. You ask him a question, and he runs away from it and changes the subject.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Every...
But what it is, though, Sarge, okay, is that the white man, you know, was a raping, slave trading, pedophile. Okay, now, somebody was arguing with me on Facebook when the dump was putting all the people there, you know, in the, in, not the internment camps, but the camps there at the, with the Border Patrol. And somebody came up there and said, well, what about the children and all this old type of stuff? And I countermanded them, and I'm still waiting on an answer from them. What about all the black children that were taken out of their mama's arms on the plant, on the auction block down in Georgia, down in Louisiana, down in Tennessee, down in Kentucky, down in Virginia, down in West Virginia, okay, down in Florida where the panties
Chewbacca,
is, okay?
That
and,
was so long
yeah.
ago, Chewbacca. Just get over it, Chewbacca. That's what they tell us.
Okay, well, I'm not going to get over it because I never get over history. I acknowledge history, and that is a historical reality of the way those children were treated. But since all of them are dead now, they are beyond the reach of our ability to help them other than to pray for them. I would suggest to you that the children who are alive now and undergoing a similar form of slavery because of policies of the United States ought to deserve our more immediate attention. Don't you think so?
Okay, Sarge, for the sake of conversation, what we'll do is that we will continue
this here on
Grand Rising with Sarge.
Then we can have that conversation, Sarge.
When what happens?
When they get the same treatment that the Haitians got.
Right.
I don't understand how they can have any same treatment and all the children that were on the auction block are now dead.
Okay, no. He's talking about with the Haitians, Sarge, when they was trying to cross the border. You know, what was that there, Brother Paris, about a year ago, and then they came out there and hit them with whips.
Yeah, it's been about
10
years.
Oh, that's a lie. That didn't happen. That's a lie.
No.
Oh, that's a lie. That was something that Joe Biden even admitted. He didn't admit it because he's much of a gutless poltroon and a coward to admit that he unjustly maligned those Border Patrol agents. But the Border Patrol and the health didn't figure into that. And they admitted they did nothing whatsoever wrong at all. That is a lie. That is a damnable calumny from those Border Patrol agents.
SARS. They didn't get rounded up like cattle, put back on planes, and sent back to Haiti.
But wait a minute. Now, that's another thing. He said whipping. He said the whipping by the guys on horseback. That didn't happen.
They didn't get rounded up like cattle, SARS, and sent
back
to Haiti.
Okay, they were coming in the country illegally. They all were supposed to get round at that time. That was policy round and home.
Exactly, SARS.
Until Joe Biden changed the policy. That bullshit policy you later have to just show up and say you want to request asylum, and then we process you into the country.
SARS, that's not what happened, though. They didn't get turned away and sent back to their home countries. They got asylum. They still here.
Look, I can guarantee you, right now, anybody who shows up at the border at a port of entry and asks for an asylum hearing gets one. It doesn't matter where they're getting in. They're coming from Kazakhstan.
So the Haitians, they come over here and they say, hey, I'm seeking asylum. I want to apply for asylum.
Yes, the Haitians get it too. Yes,
they
do.
No, they don't. They got turned away.
Yes,
they
do.
They got turned away.
Now they do.
Back to Haiti.
Now they do. Yes, they do. No one is turned away unless they are known to be felony criminals who have previously been ordered deported. If they don't fit that criteria, they're in. And they get $2,200 a month courtesy of your Biden administration.
That ain't my damn administration. I didn't vote for that sleepy damn Joe.
Well, I hope you didn't, but it's the fact. It's what they're doing with your tax money. So if they're from Haiti, they're getting it too. They're all getting it. That's the problem. None of them should be getting it, whether they're from Russia or Kazakhstan or Haiti or anywhere else. Honduras, Venezuela, they all ought to get their hearing quickly and then get deported if they don't qualify for asylum.
They are getting turned away and sent back to their homeland.
No, they're not. Not now. Not anymore. They should be, but they're not. I wish they were, but they're not.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end
this. Would turn them
so
away. I wish
they
would.
This up,
yeah, because okay, we got to do Frontline Black News.
The Grand Rises with Mr. 12.
Yeah.
Okay,
Sarge, we'll see you Friday, man.
I'll be there. I'll rest assured I shall be there to straighten out any misapprehensions you might.
Yes, sir. Okay, Sarge, we'll see you there for front and center, man, 11 a.m. in the Eastern time zone.
Roger, we'll call.
All right. Okay, folks, and we thank all our listeners for joining us tonight, and also too we thank our haters as well too. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're one of our haters, feel free to always comment in our chat room. Your ignorance is most entertaining. Good night from Sin City.
Oh, we're gonna go out.